This is the E-Square Podcast recording live from the Junction Complex. You are now making a worldwide connection.
It's the E-Square Podcast.
Yeah, but it seems like is reggaeton new? Like relatively a new genre? Like to what it is now? Is I just not aware of it for the past few decades?
I think it's new and old. Mm-hmm. The history of reggaeton, I'll make it really fast so I'm not here all day.
Yeah.
It started in Panama. It's not really? It's not from Puerto Rico or Colombia. But respect to them though. But it started in Panama. It came from in the 80s. It came from the the Africans that were in Jamaica. Mm-hmm. And then they had the dembow beat, which you'll hear in the reggaeton songs. I don't know if it's gonna mess up the mic, but doom, 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 doom. That's the dembow beat, which comes from Jamaica. Mm. The dembow beat, Africans came to the Africans, like from Jamaica, like from historical and whatnot, came down to Jamaica, down to Panama to work on the Panama Canal. Mm. And so the rhythm started, stuff like that, history, yes. You know, I can be here all day and talk about it.
Right.
But the first reggaetonero is El General, and he started, the general, and he started in the 90s. And that's when you started hearing a lot more urban stuff. And then it kind of died down in Panama and it went to Puerto Rico. And long story short, that's when you hear in 05, 04, the Daddy Yankees, the Don Omars, the Wisin y Yandels, the stuff you heard, Gasolina, big songs, right?
Yeah.
And then it kind of went away for a little bit because electronic music kind of took over and the reggaeton dudes try to get it, you know, with the... try to do all that. I don't know if you heard of the Danza Kuduro. Nah. They try to get into like that electronic scene. Mm-hmm. Just didn't work. And then, you know, hip hop wasn't even that big. That was all EDM, like 2011, 12. And then around 14, 15, shout out to J Balvin and Bad Bunny. Osuna started bringing it back and they came up with a new sound because production got better. But reggaeton is kind of new in a way since 05, 06, it got mainstream.
It's like a teenager, you would say?
Yeah, I would say. So not as old as hip hop. Not as popular, not as the oldest hip hop.
I feel like hip hop's like a young adult right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And reggaeton might be like a teenager.
Yeah, for sure. That's the best way to put it.
Damn, that's crazy that the Panama Canal, the
history
that birthed out this new music. That's
what
amazing.
It comes from the dembow beat from the Jamaicans. So that's why all the rhythms and stuff like that. So it's kind of similar to the dance hall.
You can hear the influence if you really pay attention.
Yes, sir.
That's why.
And like I said, reggaeton is kind of like the hip hop of what's it called, Latin America.
Mm.
Just because of what it talks about, the fashion, the jewelry, everything is really hip hop influence. Mm-hmm. Like if you look at old school Yankee, Don Omar, they got big shirts, like it's 05, 06, you know what's going on, FUBU, or
their own twist on it.
That's going on.
That's beautiful, man. It's just crazy to think how much we really do influence each other, even though we don't want to like admit it all the time. Everybody wants to be their individual, creative, everybody wants to be original, but we all copycat off each other, bro. It's crazy.
Well, hip hop influenced a lot of it. So shout out to hip hop, man, and the islands too. So, but we do correlate and we help each other out. Yeah. Now you see all the collabs now, with both sides.
Yeah, because Spanish is the most spoken language in the world, right? If I'm not mistaken.
I think it's still English.
Is it?
Yeah, I think I looked it up. Spanish. I looked this up because I was like, man, let's see if reggaeton's gonna last. Like, because I'm into like marketing and DJing and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like the fourth or third most spoken language. Uh-oh. I think number two is gonna be Chinese.
Chinese?
Yeah, and I think
just because they got all the motherfuckers over there. Their country's like packed, bro.
Well, there's also a lot of immigrants. Like a lot of Chinese people live in Brazil. A lot
really?
Of people are like, yeah, hell, it's crazy. I was like, what? I think the second highest population of China, or Chinese people other than China, is going to be Brazil.
Wow.
Mexico, too. When I was in Mexico.
Mexico?
Bro, I saw Chinese people. They all run a lot of restaurants. And I was like, hey, man, you speak English? You go, see? I'm like, yo, I'll pay you $10. Speak to me. And it's so weird seeing someone who looks full on, Asian speak Spanish. I was like, what?
In Mexico? Living in Mexico?
That was crazy.
That's crazy as fuck, bro.
Yes, sir.
I need to learn some Spanish, man. For real.
Come out, man.
No,
I don't know if you're married or not. You got a girl.
Nah.
Oh, you got to come out with the Latin girls, man. You got to come out.
That's my kryptonite right there, dog. I love the Spanish.
All tights, man. You got to be careful, though. Latinas, man. You got
to
be careful.
Oh, I know, bro. Yeah, I know. I lost my virginity to a Mexican chick. Yeah. That didn't go very well. Yeah. Well, that will save that for another story. Yeah.
You're in Northtown. You got a lot of Latinos over there.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, but let's talk about you though, man. How did you start DJing?
Yeah, man. So again, if anyone doesn't know me, my name is DJ Exile. I'll make it really fast too. Started with house parties. Mm-hmm. We were about the
same
age.
Out here in Vegas, right?
So you remember the party cruise? Mm-hmm. It started with party crews. Everyone would wear a big badge, and it was kind of like organized parties. Mm-hmm. Every crew would, you know, start their own clique, and mm-hmm. then just throw house parties. And it was about 06, 07. I was like in party crews and just house parties. And if you notice, like around that time, the market started crashing. So we would break into houses. It was when the house were abandoned. And
yeah, a lot of band up, yeah. Like 2010, 2009. Yeah,
people don't forget about that.
Yeah.
And also...
that was high school.
Yeah.
All day. Yeah.
Warehouses, mm-hmm. all that stuff. So I started getting my name there. And in 05, 06, what's going on? Reggaeton is hot. Gasolina mm-hmm. just came out. It's... like reggaeton is at its height with right, hip hop. Right. All the snap music was out. Mm-hmm. Hip hop, it was on a snap phase. Like Lil Jon, like DFB, all that shit. Mm-hmm. And like Young Jeezy, Gucci, and then reggaeton was with Gasolina. Mm-hmm. And then from party crews, I met a lot of my friends. We moved up to hookah lounges. Mm-hmm. From hookah lounges, we got to like small boutiques or small nightclubs. Mm-hmm. All my friends moved up in nightlife. All my friends that I know from way back in, yeah. that are I thought were scoundrels. I'm like, damn, you guys are GMs now? Like nightclubs?
Yeah, that's crazy.
Shit.
Yeah.
And
it's a crazy city coming up in Vegas, yeah.
It is. Everyone went to nightlife. And I'm like, bro, I used to party when I was like 15 and shit like that.
Yeah, you used to fucking carry a gun and shit, bro. Like, what the fuck?
They got dangerous. That's why I stopped house parties.
Oh, they got dangerous.
They
all started getting shot up, yeah.
Dude, it got dangerous.
I'm already on the east side. East side was going crazy.
That's where they started classifying party crews as gang. Mm. So like, every time I would get caught, I wouldn't snitch. I held my ground. Like, what crew you in? I'm not in a crew. Yeah. Well, we got to get your name down. They're like, all right, we got your legal name and then DJ name. If you keep coming around, we're going to affiliate you as a gang member. I'm like, holy shit.
Oh, yeah.
So they definitely, and then guns started getting involved. Sadly, we couldn't party as...
it's like a competition and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, crews started beefing and shit.
Yeah, it started turning into gangs, like, sadly, you know? And then, you know, young dudes, come on, you're 16, and alcohol on you? Come on, bro, you think you're untouchable.
Yeah, it's like, we got all the bitches over here. Yeah. Yeah, I already know, man.
So that's where I got my foundation is the party scene. That's right, where like, I got my big reputation, my following, and my roots.
Yeah.
And then from there, hookah lounges to... Blue Martini.
Oh, okay.
That's where it kind of really.
Oh, you know Ray?
Yeah, he's
my,
over there.
That's my dog.
That's my G.
That's my partner. Yeah,
he's dope, man. Shout out to Ray. Yeah, he's dope.
For that fool. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So how did you? But where was it? Where you got behind the turntables? And it was like, this is what I want to do.
Oh, definitely hip hop. What's it called? Yeah, I also love hip hop. Like, don't think I'm just Daddy Yankee. Was the movie Juice? I don't know if you some hip hop heads. You guys are watching the movie Juice for sure.
Yeah, if you like hip hop and you don't know what Juice is, just go
stop watching.
Kill yourself. Yeah.
No, that battle scene. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the fuck are they doing? I want to do that.
Yeah.
And like about seventh grade.
Wow.
And I started with like turntablism, which is like the art of DJing, like scratching, battle DJing. But I noticed that's not going to pay the bill. That's not going to get me booked at parties.
Yeah.
So I got to go rock parties. So I had to learn how to mix and do all that stuff. So seventh, eighth grade is how I came up with my name. But freshman years really were, I'm doing house parties every weekend.
Wow.
Or even like on Wednesdays, I would ditch school and go do DPs and DJ DPs and stuff like that.
Family parties and shit.
Yeah. Oh, of course. All that shit. And it was money. I mean, I didn't.
Right.
Yeah. So.
And that's easy money too. You're playing music.
Yeah.
It's beautiful, huh?
Yeah, for sure, man. I never take it for granted till this day.
Yeah.
Till this day, man. I knew I was going to come this far, but I didn't, like, I can't believe it. Like, I told myself, nah, fuck that. I'm going to be at clubs in about 10 years. Yeah. Watch, I'm going to do this shit. But also you tell yourself in the back of your head, fuck, I don't know if I'm really going to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you doubt yourself a lot?
What's up?
You doubt yourself a lot?
I think we all have a little bit of it.
Right.
I think that's what gives us the, it's kind of like if you didn't have fear, you wouldn't be brave.
Right.
So I think we doubt ourselves a little bit. I doubt myself. I'm like, nah, fuck that. Let's get it. So you got to have the fear to be brave, you know?
Right.
Anyone who doesn't have fear and is brave is kind of dumb. Yeah. It's just arrogant, man. Right. Like, you ought to have, that's what makes you brave when you have fear.
Right, exactly. Getting over that fear. You wouldn't be brave if you didn't have fear.
Yes,
like
sir.
That.
Yeah.
Damn, so you've been doing this your whole life. This is who you are.
Yeah, 16 years.
God damn.
Yes, sir.
And you're still a young man.
A 30, yeah, I hope so. I mean, to the 21-year-olds, I'm like, I'm an old head.
Nah, bro, 30 is a new 20, because I just turned 32.
Yeah.
No, I just turned 30.
Also.
But I'm like, damn, I don't feel 30 at all.
Me neither, bro. I remember when I was like a kid, bro.
Like,
there's that meme. I want to apologize to anybody at 18 that called 30 old.
Yeah.
Because like,
bro, 30? Where did the years go? Where did the time go?
Seriously.
Do you think about that? Do you reflect on your 20s and be like, yo,
yeah,
you accomplished a lot, but you feel like you can accomplish more?
I think I accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
I think...
You proud of yourself?
Yeah, not like to brag or anything. I think I used my time wisely with a lot of things. DJing, a lot of people think, oh, just partying, like this and that. But I was really focused on growing, meeting the right people, connecting, whatever. I wasn't really focused on like, I mean, I was partying, don't get me wrong. I have my moments, but like I was really focused. And I think I used my late teens and my early 20s to really connect where I'm at now. And holy fuck, I still can't take it for granted how like where I'm at. Like, I think I'm, wow, I'm the stuff that I've done, I'm like, damn, man, thank you, God, or whoever's ever out there. But yeah, for sure. I think I use my time wisely.
Yeah, on that note, let's take a drink on that note.
Salud, man. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, yes, sir. Success. Salud. Yes, sir.
Let's do it, man. And tequila.
I'm not taking that whole thing. You took the whole thing?
It's a Latin episode with tequila, baby. Yeah, man. That was good stuff.
You know, I usually drink mezcal.
Really? That's tough.
I love the mezcal.
That's
my shit, dog.
Yeah?
I love it.
You know, you're supposed to only sip it. You're not supposed to...
Yeah, I just put it on rocks and I sip it.
Yeah, I didn't know that. My dumb ass was taking it and
No. That shit's... But I love it. That's my go-to drink. If they don't have mezcal, yeah, then I'll drink tequila, but...
But mezcal is very hard to find. Where else?
It's not that. It's pretty common nowadays.
Really?
Yeah, you just have to ask for it. People don't know what it is. Some like bartenders don't even know what it is. But most bars, typically, they have it.
What if they don't have tequila or mezcal? Oh, they have shitty-ass tequila. What are you looking at?
Well, I usually go with Terramana. I'm on the Terramana tough right now.
Oh, so you, okay.
Yeah, but I mean, anything besides Patron, I don't fuck with Patron.
Got it. But do you touch anything other than tequila? Like, if they have shitty-ass tequila, like a Jose Cuervo?
I do some whiskey.
Okay.
I do some whiskey.
But tequila is your go-to?
Tequila is my go-to. Yeah,
respect, me too.
Yeah, dog. It just makes me feel warm and happy, man. You know what I'm saying? That Hennessy and all that extra shit,
it gets
you out.
Violent. It gets, it just, I mean, to me.
Yeah, well, yeah, for a lot of people. But a lot of people, like, I feel like you 21 through 25 is your Hennessy phase.
I never had one, bro.
Bro, I had a Hennessy phase. Yeah, bro.
I had an
Amsterdam phase for sure.
God damn, you went through the hood phase. Shit was always tequila, man.
Yeah.
Upgraded tequilas. Like, I went from Jose Cuervo, fucking disgusting. But hey,
that's terrible.
That's a good one. Like moved up. Patron, Don Julio. Now I like Reposado. I don't even like 42 that much. I actually like the Don Julio Reposado.
Oh yeah. I just or Casamigos for sure.
Fire. That's actually calling the come up. Yep.
Yeah, that's a go to. But is it hard to be DJing and being in a nightlife and like keeping a sober mind, not getting drunk all the time and shit?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's a big problem, I think, for a lot of these. Not a problem, but like for DJs. I know you had Sev One on here. Mm-hmm. He doesn't drink.
Yeah, he's...
And that's fucking... Man, my hat's off. I know a lot of DJs that don't drink either. I think drinking...
Because they can't type shit, huh? Like,
I get nervous.
Right.
I don't get nervous. Mm. I don't... I honestly just get... not bored, but like, fuck, I gotta have the same energy as the people.
Right.
And, but recently, about 2 years ago, is when I started drinking about once a week or every other week. Mm. I would do it 5 days a week.
Yeah.
Every time I'm DJing.
Takes a toll, bro.
Now, I'm like, nah, I can rock, let's get on this energy. Let's get with them. Like, let's break new records. Or like, test, like, so you don't get bored of yourself too. Because you know, we find ourselves sometimes as DJs to play the same shit. Sometimes like, here we go, same set again, or like, because these are the hot songs. It's not that busy tonight. I gotta play the hot shit. So I can't take chances. But shout out to my homie Logan. He's like, I'm like, hey man, I'm getting bored, bro. I'm drinking a lot. He goes, I'm not nervous. He goes, start playing new records, bro. Take a chance. If you clear the floor, you know what records to bring him back with.
Right, okay.
Both hip hop and reggaeton.
Drinking is. It could be. Well, you're at work, right? You know what I mean. Like when you're DJing, you're at work.
Yeah, and also you can't make a fool out of yourself, say the wrong thing on the mic.
Exactly. Get too comfortable up there, you know, you start feeling yourself a little bit too much.
Or you think you're having a great set and y'all like, what the fuck are you doing, bro? But honestly, man, my wife tells me, she's like, did you go on cruise control? Because I've gotten really hammered in front of her and DJed. Mm-hmm. She's like, holy fuck, like you're still doing well.
Yeah.
On the mic, you're slurring. Like, take that up. She'll like get the mic.
Other than that,
yeah. I got hella stories like that. Like,
well,
Jesus.
It's second nature to you at this point, right?
I think so. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I'm also, for insurance purposes, I'm also in the military.
Oh, okay.
I joined at 18.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, doubts?
For insurance purposes.
Well, I need my insurance, man. DJ doesn't give you insurance, man.
Yeah.
I got to look at retirement, too.
Right. You know, no, like, DJ's union or anything like that?
Nah.
They try to do that shit.
I've never heard of it. Maybe it's out there.
I'm sure somebody's tried to do it.
I joined the military, but I didn't join because of insurance or anything. Now I see it because I'm 30. I'm like, I've been in for 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
Was the biggest thing is doubt again. Like, maybe this isn't for me, man. I had a little bit of a die. I've had rock bottoms, man. But the rock bottoms is what makes you, man.
Right.
I think so. As cliche as that sounds, like, oh, rock bottom, it's gonna make it really does make you like, this is it. If you can recover from all the falls, from the knockdowns, that's gonna make you, man.
Yeah,
for sure.
What hurts the worst? Like, is it doing a terrible set and nobody's fucking with you,
or
is
it telling J-Lo telling you suck?
J-Lo told you that? No way.
Getting fired from clubs.
Hold on. We can't. Hold on. Don't just. You can't just brush that off.
I got so many. I've been knocked down, but I'm still here, baby.
So J-Lo told you suck?
Well, not in those words. I got asked to be on tour with J-Lo, which was fucking amazing, bro.
Okay.
Which was dope as fuck. She hit me up. Her manager. The story goes, her manager hit me up. Hey, what's up? This is DJ Exile. I'm like, yeah, what's up? We're looking for, she's going on tour. We're looking for a DJ, you know, for that's like young Latino American that can speak both English and Spanish, like kind of like her, you know. I hanged up, bro. I swear to God, like, fuck, I thought it was a joke.
Oh no.
So I was like, damn, dog, really? I was like, yeah, my wife, I was asleep. She's like, who was that? I was like, oh, somebody trying to prank call.
Right.
And then she sends me a selfie with J-Lo. She's like, hey, I'm gonna call you one more time. I'm serious. It's her with fucking J-Lo in like an SUV. I don't know where they're going.
Oh, Lord.
She calls back. I'm so sorry. Fuck, dude. I thought it was a prank call. She's like, yeah, do you still want to be down? I was like, yeah, I can fly you out Saturday. And it was like 3 days later. I'm fucking in LA.
Whoa.
Long story short, I'm a DJ. Like, I know how to spin records and do all this shit. This is where I learned more like stage production, cues, lines, in-ears. Like, I learned a lot of shit in that world. J-Lo at first was from the start. I met her, I was fucking nervous as shit because I thought it was gonna be a joke. I'm like, dude, where's, I don't know, some of y'all are young.
You're being set up or something.
I thought Ashton Kutcher was gonna pull up.
Oh, dog.
And I met her and I was like, holy fuck, this is J-Lo.
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah, dude, I need this show like this, I want to run it like this, this is my style, I need the DJs to talk like this. I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah.
She's very like
stern, just like, not, like yeah, to yeah, the point. Yeah,
but that's
yeah,
what got her this far, bro. She's 51, bro.
Right.
Still Super Bowl last year, like.
Right. How? So when was this?
This is 2019.
Oh, okay. Oh,
yeah, so 19 was the best year, man. Oh, if I talk about it was the best year, but yeah, she's like, long story short, again, my bad, made it long. Mm-hmm. I was rocking with her and I didn't know my cues. It was my first day. These guys have already been rehearsing for a month. They know all their cues.
Yeah.
And she had a cue where like she would go like this. And then I would talk with her like, yo, hold up, Lo. You know, we vibing right now, but can we get a little sexy? Can we get a little slowed down? And she went like that. And I was like, fuck, that's my cue.
Uh-huh.
And she's like, cut the fucking show. Like straight up out of a movie. Yo, who the, and like you see her in-ears come off and I can hear the in-ears from the, which is like the kind of like headphones in your ears.
Yeah.
You can hear like, what the fuck's wrong with this fucking DJ? Doesn't know his fucking cues. Who'd you guys fucking get? Listen, I'm like, bro,
oh,
this
Lord.
Is J-Lo, bro. I'm like, yo, I can't believe, bro, I grew so many white hairs on that tour, bro.
Damn.
And then,
But you got through, you pushed through.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So
for
you
sure.
Finished the tour.
Yeah. She took me off, the DJ and some other segments throughout the tour.
Okay.
She didn't want the DJs anymore.
Okay.
She went overseas and did like a different shit. She just, some dancers left too. She had like five different groups of dancers.
Mm.
Shout out to J-Lo though, a hard worker.
Yeah. But you were on stage DJing for her.
Yeah, and I learned a lot, bro.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you, sir.
Congratulations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Was that like the big first, like, well, I guess it doesn't get any bigger than J-Lo, huh?
It wasn't like my, honestly, like, I'm not a big J-Lo fan, to be honest.
Mm.
So when they call me, I'm like, damn, I got to get motivated for this.
Mm.
But I do respect her,
yeah,
what she's done and whatnot.
Yeah.
But as far as like the fan, I'm not the biggest fan. So, but I think my biggest accomplishments was 2019 overall. All the artists I opened up for and all the nightclubs and stuff like that I worked for, that got like Latin artists and shit. I think that's like what I'm most proud of.
Yeah.
Breaking doors, breaking barriers at... Sorry, for Latin music on the strip.
Yeah, that's so dope, bro. Because you're from here, right? Born and raised.
Raised, not born, but I claim Vegas.
That's
my
cool.
Home.
That's cool. Yeah. Some of us, we get a little iffy about that. But
we're transplants.
Yeah, transplants. But it's all good, bro. You went to high school out here.
High school, middle school, and elementary.
Oh, then you're Gucci, bro. You're from here. Yeah. But that's like the Las Vegas dream, bro.
Yeah.
That's the dream. You know what I'm saying? The city of entertainment. You come up, you do the house parties, you do all that, and then, bro, you DJ'd for Jennifer Lopez, dog. You ever think about that and be like, what the fuck?
I still think so. I'm like, damn, I really was with, I was right. Like, at the moment, after a month of rehearsals, I'm like, bro, I'm over this shit. Like, yeah, what's up, Lo? Yeah, you ready to get sexy? I was like, because it's 11-hour rehearsals.
Yeah.
But when I left and I was done with it, I was like, yeah, I really fucking did that. Mm-hmm. Holy fuck. Like, mm-hmm. it hits you maybe after.
Yeah.
In the moment,
when
too.
When you, like, reflect about
like,
it. Yeah.
Yeah, when I see, like, stuff with, like, J-Lo and Ben Affleck or whatever's going on, I'm like, yeah, I was really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just like, she's just like a person. It's kind of, yeah, like, yeah. Weird, huh? It's like how weird how we, like, idolize these people.
Yeah, and they're just human.
Right.
Like, I heard on a phone call with A-Rod, and they were talking about, like, yeah, I'm going to get something home to eat, or I'm on the way to home. I'm on the way home to eat.
Right.
And I was like, damn, they're just having conversations like us.
Yeah.
Everyone's, like, thinking Illuminati, like,
nah.
Oh, yeah, so we're going to get the diamond, and we're going to sacrifice tonight and so we can keep being rich.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if they do that, but.
Yeah. No, for real. This is a conspiracy theorist, bro. You know what I mean? They're just, people just love to hate on, like, people that are successful. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes fame comes with the success, you know.
But she works hard, though.
For sure.
And that put me on, like, damn, though, I got to work this hard to get this
big.
Yeah,
that's what you learned, huh? It's like,
stage presence, everything, how to stage a show runs and stuff like that, too.
Yeah.
Way different than DJing, like, for nightclubs.
Right. Because you're kind of just back there. You're not, you know, you're spinning. But
Yeah,
not. You got to like, be on point.
Yeah. And it helped me a lot to be on point with, on the mic. My mic presence. It's like I took a Mario shroom. Like, I fucking leveled up, dude. Like, my presence always, I've always been proud of my mic presence.
Yeah.
But this elevated me to another level. Like, J-Lo wanted a fucking MC that can really rock her. And I had to put on, like, a New York accent.
Mm-hmm.
Cause she's from New York. She said, I need you to be, like, very 90s hip hop, the Bronx, like, that shit. I'm like, fuck, this is corny. Yeah. You know, I'm a little younger, so I'm like, I didn't grow up to this.
Right, but I got to
put on a New York, a little bit of a New York accent, stuff like that. Right. So it was a little, you know, whatever, whatnot. Yeah.
Man, that's so crazy, bro. It's just like, you know, like, you get those random phone calls. Do you know how they got your number?
Yeah. This girl on Instagram found me and sent it to her. She said, I'm looking for a Latin DJ. And segueing, I was DJing at Chaos at the time. I was doing all their Latin artists. Mm. I don't know if you know, Chaos had a Bad Bunny, Ozuna, and J Balvin as residents.
Bro, Chaos is the biggest fail of Las Vegas history, bro. Las Vegas history, biggest fail, bro. What the fuck happened? How did they let that shit fucking fall through, man? That's crazy.
I think they thought they can just book Latin artists. They were paying a lot of money for Bad Bunny, J Balvin, and Ozuna.
They had Cardi B.
Think they just overpaid, and they had a lot of people. It just didn't, what's it called?
Like, they didn't build anything.
The outcome wasn't money. It's like, oh yeah, it's packed, but, like, damn, it didn't. Yeah.
Yeah, like they're
transformed to, like, okay, where's the results now? Like,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. They had it popping and stuff, but I was over there for the Latin artists, J Balvin, Ozuna, and Bad Bunny. And that's how I got the J-Lo thing. They saw me rocking the crowd, and it was fucking massive.
Yeah.
Like, they're the first ones to ever book, I think, a resident Latin artist. So that shout out to Chaos, even though
they shit the bed on that one.
That was a Chaos.
Damn.
Yeah.
And what is that venue doing now? Is it just,
I think it's just empty? A pool.
Oh, it's just a pool?
Yeah, I think it's just a pool, man. Yeah.
And I heard, and I never even went, but I heard it was just massive in there.
It was. And I mean, shout out to them, though. I mean, they gave me an opportunity to DJ. And
yeah, he's, okay, I'm the one talking shit. He's giving his credit, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, I just think they just, an identity, like Dre's hip hop, XS house music, Resort World's mixed. You got house and the best of hip hop.
Mm-hmm.
I think you got to create an identity, and they wanted to do Latin hip hop house. It was like, well, which one are you? And
right.
And
why isn't there like a Latin club? Why isn't there like a major Latin? It's always a Latin night, but it's never a major Latin club out here. I mean, obviously, even Blue Martini. Blue Martini. I mean,
it's Latin night. It's not a Latin club.
That Latin night is popping.
Yeah, Thursday. Shout out to, if anybody wants to come out, Thursday's Latin night.
Always. I'm always. That's the only night I go.
Hit up Ray.
Yeah, hit up Ray. Tables. Camaro. Yeah.
I think why there's not a Latin night is we're a small, big city. Okay. I researched this a lot. I really looked into this. I'm like, why the fuck don't we have this? Because Miami's full of them.
Oh, yeah.
New York,
oh, yeah.
Full of them. LA, every night you can go to a Latin night.
Yeah.
Houston, Latin night.
Mm-hmm.
Vegas, we're not that big if you realize it. Mm-hmm. We're only 2 million people, 2.5.
Right.
You got Miami, who's what, 10, 12 million?
Yeah, and there's also a lot of little towns around. And
also Latinos, too, the Latino population. We're not 2 million, I would say maybe 700,000 are Latinos. We're not that big. So I don't think it's big enough yet to really have a Latin club, like full on every night is a Latin club.
Yeah.
Also, the chaos too. Latinos, we spend money differently. We're not like the hip hop. Hip hop, it talks about the bottle spenders, the chains, the bitches and shit like that. Like,
I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. Latinos don't spend money to go see Bad Bunny. They'll spend $10,000 differently. I always tell people that. I learned this a lot, like by doing events. I'm like, why are Latinos not spending money? What happened? It's not our music, because in 2020, Latin music was the most streamed music in the world. Mm-hmm. Bad Bunny and J Balvin were amongst the top five on Spotify to be most streamed, with Drake and The Weeknd, and I think Ariana Grande was on there. But
she's Latin too,
right? <Yeah. laughs> But we spend money differently. So $10,000, we'll take a trip to a festival with plane ticket, a nice hotel, go out to eat, and 3-4 days, or even a week in somewhere. Right. But we'll get to a table and be like, $10,000 for that table? Nah. Yeah. I'll spend $10,000 to go to Miami and do all this.
So Latinos are smart.
Yeah.
I feel it, but it just doesn't fit for Vegas, maybe. Is that what you're saying?
I don't think so, not yet.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
They have like... shout out to Dre's. Like, I've done a lot of their Latin nights. Mm-hmm. Like, when they first booked Bad Bunny, Ozuna, they booked Anita, which is like a Brazilian artist.
Yep.
It worked there, but they're not a full Latin club.
Right.
Stuff like that.
Well, that's their identity, like you were saying.
They're urban. I mean? Yeah. Well, like, Latin, I told you, reggaeton is very urban, just like hip-hop, you know? Like, they're both urban. They're kind of in the same realm and stuff like that.
Yeah, man. I think that's a... we need a full Latin club, bro. Because the vibe, like every Latin night I go to is just the best night to go to.
I mean,
it's
the ladies,
most beautiful women. It's the most beautiful women.
My women are beautiful.
I mean, yeah. It's the most beautiful women. It's the best vibe. It's never like, it's always, you know, more upbeat. It's always more like dancey vibes. It's not like, you know.
Yeah.
Drug dealer, I'm going to kill you kind of vibe. You know what I mean? So that's like, I love one of...
I like that you noticed that about hip-hop.
Yeah.
Not to shame on hip-hop or nothing where it's at
it
now.
That's what it is. That's a weird thing about hip-hop, though, is people don't hold people accountable in hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's a lot of... Even, like, you can see it with even these artists that are out now. They're terrible lyricists. They're terrible at everything. But everybody gives them the credit. Everybody calls them the GOAT. Everybody calls everybody like legends and all this.
Yeah,
shit.
The GOAT got kind of...
it's worn down.
It's worn down. Like, GOAT used to be like, you can't give it to nobody.
Oh,
Michael Jordan and maybe...
Jay-Z, that's it.
Like, you can't give it away like that.
Yeah.
But, any Latin party, we have a homegirl, she's black and she goes to all these, obviously hip-hop and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Really cool. And I asked her, I'm like, hey, what do you notice different from our Latin nights and our Latin parties than like a big ass artist, like Amigos or something like that? She goes, you guys dance. What do you mean? Hip hop is a lot of like the girls will twerk for like 30 seconds and the dudes will just be like standing around.
Cool. Yeah, looking cool.
Looking cool. It's like Latinos, we dance. Bachata, merengue, salsa, cumbia, reggaeton. We were born on perreo. Perreo is like the doggy style, like the Latin. It's our rhythm too. It's friendlier.
Yeah.
And Bad Bunny and them, there's a couple of Latin trap guys that do talk about like, yo, you fuck with me, I pull out the Beretta or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But most of it's like, either I'm fucking you, I'm making love to you, we're partying or we're drinking.
Right,
that's it.
Right.
We're just having fun. Nothing about killing. It's not negative. I think that's what it is.
Yeah, for sure. It's weird because those used to be underground records, but now those records have reached the mainstream and those records are, you know, there's a demand to play those records in a club, you know?
Yeah.
And it is weird. In hip hop, you know, you don't like the men, especially we don't dance, you know, like
in
Trey's, we're not dancing. Like we'll do a little bit back and forth. But other than that, it's like, we're like the men and the women aren't really dancing together.
They're
like
not.
That.
I noticed
like
that.
Dancing, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's more like she'll twerk a little bit, the dude be like, you know,
that's about it, yeah.
I noticed that because I do hip hop nights too, and I'm playing all the King Vons, all the hood shit's out right now, and or like a little bit of twerk, like Eight Ladies, and I'll play it, and it's not constantly dancing.
Yeah.
Or even girls want to hear some hood shit. I'm like, that's crazy.
Well, that's like, girls love the hood shit more.
I just can't believe, like, only dudes were supposed to like that back in 05, 06. Now it's I need some King Von, I need some Lil Durk. I'm like, you like this killer shit? Yeah. I need part 1, 2, and 3. Fuck. Bro, I had that. We're from
Shot
Town.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
63rd. No, none of that. I'm like, shit, let me look at my gangs. Who can I play?
Oh,
all right, he's BD, he's GD. Yeah. I gotta know the gangs. Cause there's a lot of beef in hip hop compared to Latin.
You go that far as to
I make sure cause like, bro.
You don't want you're trying to make sure everything's cool as possible.
Like I had some girls and some dudes pull up and they were super polite. I didn't think they were that hood.
Yeah.
We're from Shot Town. Like I want some Lil Durk and Keem Vaughn. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah. And then I played an opposite rapper. I think I played, fuck, man, don't quote me. I forgot who I played, who was like, hey, none of that shit. I'm like, excuse me? Like, look, and they were tipping me fat. Bro, oh, okay. Hundreds. I'm like, yo, these people are serious. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't want to hear none of this. We're from 63rd or something like that. I'm like, mm-hmm. All right, my bad. Let me get away from that. Yeah. I think I was playing Polo G.
That's crazy.
Is he Chi-Town?
Yeah, he's from Chicago.
Okay. Yeah. Hip hop has gotten so, what's it called?
Well, look, bro, the streets have infiltrated the music.
Which I think is dope, man. Who thought it was going this far?
It is dope.
Yeah.
Super cool because all these, you know, all these kids from, you know, disenfranchised communities, they're able to, you know, make livings for themselves, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a beautiful part of it. But it gets weird because those elements will get in the way of the music and get in the way of business. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. there has to be a healthy balance, but you know, it's, you know, nowadays it's like all these kids are rappers and it's so easy. You know what I mean? Mm. So the streets are really moving the hip hop world right now.
You think it's oversaturated?
Oh, for sure. Oh, 100%. Mm. Because music is a universal language, right? So we all react to it. We all feel it invokes emotion.
Yeah.
So we all want to be involved in it, whether we're listening, but the accessibility to making it is so easy now. It's so accessible to everybody that you can make, and it's a good possibility. It's just a bigger possibility than 10 years ago for, you know, an 18-year-old kid and is at home by himself to make the beat and put it on YouTube. You know
especially
what I mean?
Because of internet and how easy it is to produce.
So that's where
you think the quality's gone down in hip hop?
Oh, the standards have. Yeah.
I wanted to talk about that. Yeah. Like with reggaeton and hip hop. Mm-hmm. I noticed that I started with hip hop, mm-hmm. you know, 04, 05, what was big? G-Unit, Dipset.
Right.
I mean, you know, then throughout the years, 09 was Lil Wayne and, mm-hmm. and Drizzy. Mm-hmm. And I started like separating myself from hip hop. I'm like, fuck, man, it's getting worse. Maybe I'm getting older and reggaeton's getting better.
For real,
dude.
Bro,
reggaeton on 506, I was like, damn, the problem was the production wasn't good because they're in Puerto Rico on an island with not a lot of money. Right. And also it's hard to get vocals through old school Latin shit. I feel like the production wasn't as good, but hip hop was pretty good. Mm. Even the T-Pain era, I liked it.
Oh, yeah.
I took it for granted, but now where it's at, I'm like, yo, I like reggaeton a lot more now. The production isn't. Now you got all these big producers doing reggaeton, Tiny, Pharrell, even hip hop producers doing reggaeton and stuff, and Benny Blanco. Yeah. I think that's why I asked you if you think the quality of hip hop, I'm starting to like. I fuck with Keem Vaughn and all that shit, but I'm like, yo, this is getting old. Like, I'm in 70. I'm stuck in the same, like, mood all night. With reggaeton, bro, I can go Latin music. I can go everywhere.
I feel you, and this is a hard truth in hip-hop right now. It's just cut, paste, copy, paste. It's the same dude it's not the same dude, but pretty much same image, same story, same background, same upbringing, same everything. And it's like, bro, how many times can you rap fuck shit and bitch? You know what I'm saying? And that's like my thing. It's like, yo, I appreciate lyricism at the end of the day and I appreciate talent, but it's just not there. You know, it's just the beats. That's why these producers are blowing up because these beats are crazy. I can get on a beat from murder. I can get on a murder beat, like somebody from like Murder Beats, right?
Yeah.
Produced from Migos. I can get on his beat and it goes crazy.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I can say anything stupid shit on that beat. And the beat is so good that it just makes it so tailor made.
Okay.
Because it's just simple, simplified. There's no instruments. There's no like, you know, real
like a Timbaland beat who spent hours
come
or
on,
a Kanye
bro.
Beat.
Yeah. It's just the same. It's a loop, you know?
But let me ask you this though. We're about the same age. Do you think in 05, 06, when like we were in our teenage years, like mm-hmm. like all that shit was blowing up, or even 01, 02, like Nelly era, Eminem, do you think people we're saying that about our era? Like, oh, fuck, here we go again. Snap music.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be... That's why I got to catch myself.
Yeah.
And not to be old head. Yeah,
but do you think that was happening too? Or do you think... No, now it's defined. Like, nah, man, I'm not even being old head. This music is all sounding the same now.
I think it's defined. Okay, I think it's defined. But
you know, you're not sounding like an old head?
No.
Because I catch myself. I'm like, maybe I am an old head. I don't want to say this shit.
I have to have these kinds of conversations to make sure.
Because I'm not tripping. I can't be the only one feeling like this.
No, for sure. I mean, I think it's like... I think it's very obvious that it's cut paste. All these guys are the same. Like, they're very similar. You know what I mean? They're not doing anything special, mm-hmm. but they found a little bit of following online for their personalities or, you know.
Whatever, do clout, whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So, mm-hmm. you know, but sometimes it is really good music and their music just connects with people, right? Like NBA Youngboy, right? His shit is fucking, you don't like NBA Youngboy? He's hard as fuck, yeah. bro. He's just so good. He doesn't miss. You know yeah. what I'm saying? But a lot of people disagree with that.
Yeah,
you know
I don't. Saying? I just.
Exactly.
I had to
check myself and I had to listen with a different angle, a different angle and a different perspective.
Also in the club, mm-hmm. like I was playing at Bloom, and Bloom, I had to learn new shit, mm-hmm. hip hop. I was doing like their Saturdays and Sundays, yeah. And then Latin night over at Blue.
Shout out to Bloom, man. They're still open,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout out to Daniel Hackett, man. They're still out okay, there. Yeah. I was playing a lot of hood shit, like new shit. Yeah. Like, if I play Fetty Wap, bro, they'll come up to me, what the fuck is old ass shit? I'm like, it's not that old, bro.
Yeah,
chill.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
Or if I'm playing like 2016 Drake, yo, this is some old head shit. They want to hear new shit.
Right.
And then when they react to it, I'm like, okay, it's a cultural thing. I'm in the environment. Yeah. Okay, this makes sense. Maybe that, yeah, so
well,
that's...
music moves so fast. You got to play the new shit all the time.
Well, it's like, yeah. Well, with reggaeton, I think it moves a little slower. Mm-hmm. It's being so well produced, bro.
Yeah.
I had a talk with a lot of my DJ friends, like, yo, I'm like, that are not Latinos. I'm like, what do you guys like about, what's it called? Reggaeton. They're like, it's so well produced, bro. It sounds mm-hmm. so good on the ear. It's not like skirt, skirt. Like mm-hmm. it's just, I don't know what the fuck they're saying, but it's dope. Yeah. It's not moving as, it is. A lot of guys are moving on to reggaeton, but it's not moving as fast as hip hop. Mm-hmm. We're like, fuck, I don't know who. Someone will release an album 2 weeks later. Oh, it's old. I'm like, yeah. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Yeah. Reggaeton will last 3 months, 6 months.
Yeah. Well, yeah. There's probably just not as many people coming out of the, like Latinos coming out of that culture that want to be reggaeton artists. Because you have banda, you have all this other stuff, mm-hmm. you know, all these other like subgenres of the Latin culture, you yeah. know what I'm saying? That they can go do or that they grew up in.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I think hip hop, you know, was birthed from the Black community, right? So, yep. you know, yep. it's R&B. And then there's hip hop, right? Yeah. And then, I mean, obviously, you know, there's plenty of, I'm not trying to get canceled here, okay? There's plenty of black yeah, artists yeah, that do a bunch of different genres, obviously.
Yeah.
But predominantly, you know, you go to most black homes, they're playing hip hop or they're playing R&B, mm-hmm. right? So it's, maybe that's why there's just so many, you know, it maybe has something to do with the upbringing, you know
yeah,
what
yeah.
I mean?
Yeah.
But hip hop runs the world though too, bro.
No, it does. As I say, yeah. it influenced reggaeton. People yeah. don't. I keep saying it. Don Omar, Yankee.
It's the most powerful force, almost like in the world. Dog. Yeah, it's crazy.
Who knew it would be this big? Like it influenced reggaeton.
And
I'm telling you,
it's still so young too.
Yeah, like bro, look at what I'm wearing. I'm wearing chains. I'm wearing a hat. Like this.
Yeah,
is,
you're hip hop. You're hip hop.
This hip hop.
Yeah,
yeah. I love Latin music and the reggaeton. Yeah. I'm telling you, if you look at Bad Bunny, all these guys, what they're doing. They're influencing each other. They're all wearing mm-hmm. Gucci and just like Biggie.
Yeah,
Some of them wear nails just like
Oh, those? Really? Yeah. Dollar sign and shit. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Painting their nails. A lot of them be doing that shit. Like, yeah, bro.
Yo, what is that? What's that about?
Young heads. Yeah, I think it's a young head thing.
Just trying to be interesting.
I think the young generation, I have a brother-in-law who's 10 years younger than me. And I ask him, like, you know, respectfully, like, yeah. what do you like about Playboi Carti and all these guys? They'd be acting, you know, a little bit suspect to my generation. They'd be like, right. that's kind of gay. But I'm going to, you know, yeah. and they'd be like, well, we just accept it, bro. It's not gay to us.
It's because just whatever, yeah.
It's becoming more accepting, like not hating on each other.
Right,
don't
right,
be right. a dick. Like, yeah. back in our era, we used to roast. Like you had to be roasted. Like, yeah. it was our acceptance. Don't be a little bitch. Like,
exactly.
They don't.
It builds character.
A lot of their era doesn't, like, bro, why do you gotta say that? Chill, man. More yeah. like a hippie vibe.
Yeah, like dude, we're just all getting along.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
And I'll come in like, y'all a bunch of pussies.
Yeah, exactly. Because
and I'll get canceled for saying pussies.
Oh, God, so, yeah. bro, I don't give a fuck, bro. I don't give a fuck. You can cancel me all you want, but bro, look, because it's just so crazy. Because it's like you know, our parents kind of were like the last traditional generation, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And we're kind of breaking that mold, but we're still very influenced in the traditional. Like I want a traditional family. I want a traditional woman. You know, obviously. I'm not just gonna, you know.
Yeah, of course.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm nice to women, obviously. I'm not, I don't, you know what I'm saying? But it's that. And now this new generation, you know, they're just, you know, they're a little bit less traditional. And this is gonna get more and more less traditional, you know? It's just an evolution thing of society.
Yeah, I think so. You know? Like I said, like back with like the Latin music, they, there's no vulgar in it. I mean, they, mm-hmm. Bad Bunny, I mean, there's a couple of shit like that, like in reggaeton and stuff yeah. like that. But if you listen to the new stuff, like the new bachata, new cumbia, like that Latin genres, those, yeah. there's Bro, no cuss words at all.
That's beautiful.
Not even, like, it's called...
Yeah, well, all you rappers, try making a song without cursing. I dare you.
Kanye might do it. Well, he did the whole album,
Yeah, he did a double diff.
Yeah, yeah. We did the whole gospel, what's it called? I'm a big Kanye fan. This is embarrassing.
Jesus King?
Yeah, Jesus King. But all these reggaetoneros are... they all mention Kanye. They all mention Pharrell. Like... yeah, these guys knew. Remember, Puerto Rico is the biggest influence of reggaeton. Like, Panama started it, but Puerto Rico, took it to a whole new level. Kind of like New York took hip hop to a new level. Mm-hmm. And they're Americanized. Remember, it's a territory, so they speak English and Spanish. They're watching American TV. Mm-hmm. So all the reggaeton dudes are all. Dude, like watching the sneakers, everything they're doing is from that. So if you listen to all the new songs and. The collaborations. I wanted to talk about the collaborations. How like that was really helpful to Latin music or to reggaeton, música urbana, urban music.
Mm-hmm. Kind of bridge that gap.
Cardi B did a song with Bad Bunny and Balvin.
Oh yeah, because everybody wins in that situation.
Well, she's Dominican. She didn't leave her Dominican side. That was dope. Yeah. Shout out to her. Like that's fucking dope. She didn't forget about it. I'm not gonna say who forgot about their roots, but whatever.
Go ahead, put them on blast.
I worked with her, J-Lo.
She
was with Diddy and all that in the 90s. She didn't want to be Puerto Rican. She wanted to be like a Latin girl, but like, but I'm from the Bronx, which I get it, respect, but she just started fucking with her Latin side till like now.
Till it's now it's popular.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all the collaborations really helped. Despacito, even though I fucking hate the song, but bro, you got the biggest pop star, which is Justin Bieber on the remix.
Yeah. Why do you hate that song?
I feel like
the white man is a culture appropriating.
It's okay, it happens. I mean, the song is already, it's played out regardless. Yeah, yeah. I think I don't like it because... yeah, I think it's Justin Bieber jumped on it and just like, it's fuck, okay. This is really our crossover shit? Yeah, like, really? Yeah, yeah. Like, we got more than this.
You can't be that mad, though, because he took that song crazy.
I cannot. That's what I'm saying. Like, like it's like a hate. It's like, this has to be the song. Okay, it's cool. Like, Gasolina, I fucking hate Gasolina. Mm. But I love it because that's what really, every time even, like, white people, black people, Asians, non-Latino, don't hear Gasolina, but, you know, like, the start. Uh-huh. Like, shit, everyone reacts to it, you know? Mm-hmm. Like I hate those songs, but those are the bridges that really helped everything. Fashion really helped Latin music a lot too.
Yeah,
J Balvin got a Jordan 1 deal. Mm-hmm. He has his own shoes. Mm-hmm. Bunny got an Adidas deal.
Beautiful.
Ozuna is on Fortnite. Ozuna, J Balvin's on Fortnite. Like to see
Becky G, she's going crazy too.
Becky G's
she's so fine.
God damn, I DJ for her too as well.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, she's dope.
Tell her I know she got a man's, but
yeah.
Tell her what's up though.
She's actually an amazing performer. Shout out to her. Yeah, she's an amazing performer and she reps like our people, like Latin Americans.
She really came up. I've been hearing about her for a long time.
Yeah, she was like a pop, she was doing pop for a minute and then she did like she's like, yo, fuck, I'm gonna do a reggaeton.
Yeah.
And she's dope. She's dope as fuck. I opened up for her at Dre's. I want to talk about a little bit like the clubs that helped me really open the bridge. Open the door for Latin music on a big platform was Omnia Nightclub, who we started a Latin night, the Sale Sundays. We were there for a while and they really helped me out. We're going to start a Latin night, Sundays, and let's go. Yeah. They went to Blue Martini, saw what we were doing. Like, we want to go on Sundays. Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
Damn, so, that's almost like... like these, those like Blue Martinis and these little smaller clubs. It's
they
almost
see
like,
it.
They're like, they're like, who's, yeah, like, who, what's going on down here?
Yeah, like, who's the DJ? Why is this popping? Why are there so many women in here? Mm-hmm. Oh my God, people are spending money. Mm-hmm. They see everything.
Yeah.
We got to do this. Yeah. And then Latin music in 2017-18 was fucking peaking, dude. Mm-hmm. I mean, still peaking, but Omni was one of my biggest break into nightlife.
Really?
Nobody was booking me, man. They all saw me as a Latin DJ. I wasn't getting booked any big clubs. And Omni, fucking shout out to Omni, shout out to Richard Candido, who believed in the sale night with my boy Jason. Mm-hmm. We were over there. We started that stuff over there, and that really, from there, 2018, bro, everything was a snowball effect.
Wow.
Everything went, it was like a movie. It was like my first hit, and I just had hit. Bro, it felt like an album. Or like a
skit. Yo, Omnia, they got big spenders in there, man. They got that's a great club, bro.
It opened the doors.
Club,
And we did really well. We were there for a year and a half.
You know Turbulence?
Yeah, of course. Okay, dope. He's dope. He's my homie.
Yeah.
And it all started with Blue, Omnia, and then from Omnia, Chaos, Dre's. We were doing all the Latin nights every what's it called? Any Latin Grammy, Latin Grammy after parties, any Latin billboards, they would be at Dre's. Shout out to Dustin Dre, who fucking really believed in urban music, reggaeton, and they were fucking slammed, dude. He's like, and he had me open, and I fucking,
beautiful.
My respect to him.
Yeah, and he does a good job, man, over there. I used to work at Dre's too.
Okay.
Yeah, shout out to them, man. Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm trying to get that fool on the show. Hey, if you can make a phone call for
him. I can probably hit him up.
For sure, yeah.
Yeah, Dustin? Yeah. He's a very, I like about him a lot, man. He's a young mind in an old man's world.
Exactly.
That's the perfect way to describe it.
Or something.
Yeah, he's a young mind, a fresh mind in the young, old man's world. Yeah. People are so stuck, like sometimes like, all right, we gotta execute like this. And
you need that young
energy.
And
that's ballsy to take also, like, now it's the biggest hip hop in the club in the world.
In the world.
Yeah, like you said on one of your podcasts with Sev One.
Yeah, it's the premier hip hop night. It's a beautiful venue at the top of Flamingo and Las Vegas Boulevard.
Yeah.
The view is insane. And you got indoor, outdoor. It's the best, to me, it's
the best.
And
it's got all the major hip hop acts.
Exactly. Exactly. And even it don't matter who's in there.
Yeah.
It's the best venue to me. That's my favorite venue to go to. It's beautiful.
No, I agree. What's it called? See, hip hop wasn't always accepted. I mean, you know this.
Right.
That's to see that happen. Mm-hmm. That's insane. Same with Latin music. Mm-hmm. I remember I would play at lounges or other places. You're a Latin DJ. It's ghetto.
Yeah, they didn't.
Same with hip hop. That's ghetto. Now everyone wants hip hop. Mm-hmm. If I'm playing EDM at a place, excuse me, can you go play some Drake?
Right.
Can you play some Kid Cudi? Can you play some? I'm like, exactly. Holy fuck! Like, that's dope.
Yeah.
Same with reggaeton. Like, right. if it used to be frowned upon, and that's not. Maybe it wasn't racist. Maybe it was just the clients. I don't know.
It's racist. It's racist. Let's call it what it is. Vegas, Las Vegas is a cowboy state. Nevada is a cowboy state. Las Vegas is a cowboy town. And we're still a very young city. We go back 19. This is the 70s.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it's not that old.
Bro, we was a small little bitty in the 80s, bro. You look at the pictures from the 80s, bro. None of the strip was totally different, bro.
And so to see hip hop that big.
Bro, and they never wanted hip hop here. You know,
they never did.
Never.
I remember
never.
When I would DJ, I had to go switch to EDM. Like, if I got to DJ all this bullshit.
Exactly.
So hip hop and reggaeton, Latin music went away. It was all EDM 2010 to 14.
What was that old club at the Rio?
Shit.
Crown?
Crown. That was hip-hop, though.
That was hip-hop. That was, like, the
only one. But like it was frowned upon. It was like, damn.
They ruined it. They ruined it.
Yeah.
Got shot up.
Yeah. Now Dre's is doing a really good job.
Exactly.
And I love Dre's that they're also able to capture música urbana, urban music, reggaeton, the Latin trap, and the dembow as a they didn't make me whitewash it wash it. I hate saying whitewash. That's racist. made me like.
You're so political, bro.
That's not that. Just man. White people have nothing wrong. Yeah, it's just very they didn't want me
in
to politicize it. Yeah, Dustin Dre was like, bro. I was like, hey, do I have to play anything? Like, do whatever the fuck you want, bro.
Right,
you open up for Bad Bunny. Do whatever the fuck you want.
Yeah.
Are you serious? He goes, yeah. Every artist.
That's what he has to do, though.
He tells me too is, hey, I got a birthday in the house. Can you do that? I'm like, bro, that's nothing. Like, that's amazing.
That's regular.
So, yeah, that's dope. Like, at his full fucking core to play dembow at a fucking... And I'd find all these motherfuckers and Bad Bunnies and Osunas at a fucking nightclub like that. It was amazing, bro.
They need that young energy in charge, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And to understand what's you got to have, whoever's in charge has to have their finger on the pulse of the culture and what's going on.
Yeah, so shout out to Dre's for really, that's why hip-hop's working so well for them. They're not just I want hip-hop, but I don't want their people.
Right.
It's like.
That's what a lot of venues want. A lot of venues, that's a lot of venues do, bro. And you know, hip-hop, you know, it does bring sometimes a certain crowd. We all know that. It's not a secret.
I mean, look what hip-hop talks about. What do you expect?
Exactly. You know what I mean? But at the end of the day, it's about how you approach it, you know, and control it. And you have to, like, you know, most of these club owners, a lot of these club owners probably aren't from that culture. So, you know what I'm saying?
That's why I said fresh new mind or young mind in an old man's game.
Important. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. That's why they were able to do it.
Yeah. So you're bringing, you've done a lot, man. You've done a lot.
I try, man. Yeah. I'm humble enough to, I think I've accomplished a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you've been a staple in building the Latin community, Latin music party scene in Las Vegas.
You can
take credit for that. You can take credit for that.
That's my goal. That's my goal. You know, to really give Latinos a voice. Anybody who's coming after me, you know, whether they remember me or not, whatever. I hope they do.
Mm-hmm.
we're paving the way. You know, there's a lot of us. There's a lot of a couple DJs in the scene that are paving the way.
Yeah.
I just really want to, maybe I'm forcing myself in there. I think I really want to do it. You know, I saw Miami do it. I saw Los Angeles do it. I'm like, Vegas got to do it too, man. We got a voice.
For sure.
Definitely. That's why I started this right here.
That's what my next question was, bro. It's like, you're working for Dre's. You're doing all this other stuff. You open up for J-Lo, but you're starting your own shit.
Yes.
Altura.
Yes, Altura.
Yeah.
So. Means takeoff. If anyone doesn't know Spanish, Altura means takeoff. Uh-huh. Like we taking off, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it means. Yes. Con Altura, you know, taking off.
So give us some background on this. Like, how did it start? Like, what was the incubation of it all?
Okay, yeah. So we did, I was doing Dre's, Omnia, Chaos, everything, and they saw that I was, you know, doing my thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to say it. I saw that nightclubs weren't doing it the right way. As you saw, like,
it's corporate.
I loved
shit,
it.
Yeah.
It's corporate. They were like, Dre's was doing it the right way. I'm saying, but they're, maybe like the numbers all weren't there.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, it just like, that's why they don't do a Latin night or like a Latin Sundays. You know how they have Sundays with Franzen?
Right.
It works. Franzen's a big DJ. Mm-hmm. He brings people out.
Mm-hmm.
He's a staple in hip hop. Shout out to Franzen. Go.
Shout out Franny. For real, yeah.
Yeah, but they don't do that with Latin. So I'm like, what's going on? They only do it on billboards and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, it's because Latinos aren't used to going to clubs. So if you go pay $100, a lot of Latinos don't go to clubs. They do. A lot of people
house
do.
Parties.
House parties, concerts, festivals. Right. That's what we concert. That's what we spend money differently.
Yeah.
I studied the craft. I'm like, what's going on? So they'll spend $100 to go see Bad Bunny at, say, for example, Chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, no, any club.
Yeah.
And you know how it is. Clubs are very pretentious. Like, nah, man, you'll wait your turn. Like, bro, I paid $100. Any festival gets you in quick. Any concert you get in quick.
Right.
Pretentious. All right, you want to get in? It's going to be an extra 20. Bro, I paid $100 for my ticket. I just want to get in.
Yeah.
But as a simpleton, like, you know, someone who doesn't go out often.
Right.
Like, nah, bro, go in GA. Mm-hmm. Not going to get waiting in line. Mm-hmm. All this bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And also, bottles. We don't spend money on bottles. $10,000 for a bottle? Nah, I'd rather just go to fucking Europe and go to see Bad Bunny in Spain whatever.
Yeah.
So I was approached. Shout out to Marcel Correa. And shout out to DJ AR, who reached out to me and were like, yo, we want to start a brand, a party. And I was really like doing, like I said, Chaos, Omnia, Dre's. And I was like, okay, you know, let's see where it goes.
Yeah.
And I started seeing that like the Altura thing, like from nightclubs, it separated a lot.
Mm.
I'm like, yo, this is where it's at.
Yeah.
Like nightclubs don't, because a lot of complaints, like, yeah, I saw Osuna, but he only did a 20 minute performance.
Yeah,
I
had to
wait until two, and not shot. So the clubs do it for a reason.
Yeah.
They don't bring out the artists like 2:30 and Latinos get pissed.
Right.
Like, fuck, man, yeah, really 2:30 versus a concert or a festival who starts at 9:30 or 10.
You're given an hour set. And,
what's the latest the festival ends? The Latin festival, 1 o'clock?
1 o'clock.
Yeah, right, 1 a.m. So Marcel and AR reached out to me, like, we want to start a brand with you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, shout out to them for giving me the opportunity. I wasn't like, not that I wasn't too enthusiastic about it. I was like, oh, we'll see. We'll start a Latin brand, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm kind of doing my own thing already.
Yeah.
Like, not being cocky or nothing. Then we, 2020 hit. And I'm like, fuck, I got to reinvent myself. Like, this is going to be it.
Yeah.
And we started this Altura party in a brand in the pandemic.
Oh, wow.
And you already know, we got to go through all the bullshit.
Oh, wow.
We still pull people. People had to sit down, couldn't dance, wear a mask at all times. COVID. I'm not going to get too onto that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We started the brand. And then when regulations started like loosening up, we started taking off. And we just celebrated our 1 year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Shout out to AR and Marcel for believing in me and making me a partner.
That's beautiful, man. That's
and
beautiful. Where, did you know them before? Or was they just
I knew AR around. I actually booked AR like at Blue Martini.
Oh, okay.
We would just meet around.
Okay.
And Marcel kind of asked AR like, hey, bro, I need the Latin dude in Vegas to who has pool. We can start this brand that really hustles. And he came to me. And at first I was like, oh, well, you know, like I said, and that was it. That he just, they pulled me. And then me and AR, we're fucking, dude, we see eye to eye, bro. We're fucking hard workers, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't sleep, man.
I love AR, man. He's such a good guy, man.
Such a good dude. I wish I was more like him. Yeah. I have my moments.
Yeah, yeah.
No, I have my Kanye moments.
He's such a fucking nice dude, bro.
And he knows how to tolerate under pressure, dude.
Oh, and he does. He deals with pressure very well, bro.
And he
always looks out. He always looks out, bro.
Dude, I mean, he connected us. And I was like, oh, my God, I'm glad to be here. Like, that's dope. He knows who I am. Oh, shit.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
He's more of the tech festival, how things run, ticket sales, the data, like all that shit, collecting data at our weekly, we do a weekly Altura Wednesday.
Yeah.
Me, I come from a DJ background, more of like like groundwork. Like I'll get the girls to promote. Mm-hmm. I'll bring my name. I'll bring all the people out. Mm-hmm. And that's how we work together.
Exactly.
He's more of the, yeah, like the logistics. He DJs also.
Yeah.
I got to give him credit,
but
man.
But he's been locked in with Marcel and Revelation for a while. Yeah. And so
shout out to them.
Yeah, bro. They're fucking, so they got their shit dialed in.
Yeah. So I learned, I'm still learning a lot of shit. We're going on our second show now, October 30th. Mm-hmm. Our first show sold out.
Yeah.
Our first show and paid. There was no guest list, none of that shit. We sold out, man. Like I was like, I don't know if I was confident enough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Our Wednesdays, a lucky day downtown, sell out every Wednesday. And AR and Marcel taught me a lot. Like, bro, this is how it goes down. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, nah, man. Like, I come from a nightclub, bottle sales. You know, they're more for like GA, Radius, logistics. Yeah. I'm more like bottle service. Let's get a guest list. Like, nah, no guest list, bro. We got to make money.
So it's more like going down the festival lane.
Yes. Yeah. That's what, so back to like the relay. I'm sorry, I'm talking too much, man.
Bro, that's what we're here to do. We're here to talk, bro.
I just saw nightclubs. Like, I'm not trying to diss them. I just don't think they were doing it 100%. Mm-hmm. With festivals, you got to create an experience. Right. Like, if you go to Dre or to a nightclub, you can go see Ozuna anywhere, not to talk smack. You see Ozuna.
Right.
But if you go to a festival where they have rides, they have an experience, you can take pictures, they got food. Mm-hmm. Just also the ambiance of a festival or of a show is a lot different than what's it called, than a nightclub.
Exactly. Yeah.
I'm not dissing any nightclubs who get performers. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
I just think
it's a limited experience a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. That's who.
Because a lot of those artists just come in to get a bag real quick and do a quick performance, you know?
Like, well, Dre's actually doing 45 minutes. That's dope about them. Yeah. A lot of clubs, 20 minutes and they're out.
Yeah, I love Dre's, but they're going to have to start rethinking their lineup here pretty soon.
Got it.
Nobody wants to listen to Nelly for 45 minutes, bro. I'm sorry. Even T.I. I do. I mean, I love T.I.
I do, yeah, but you're right. You're right. Not the young people who are 21.
Young cats. Yeah.
And also, I just did a Baja Beach Fest. I
saw that. You were out there, huh? Where was that?
Rosarito.
Okay.
Shout out to, what's it called? Alan and the Pewter Brothers over there. They booked me over there.
Dope.
Boy Dynamic too as well. Dope. They booked me. I was on the first time slot, but to have my name up there with Balvin on t-shirts, my name's on there.
Come on, man.
But I learned a lot from their festival too. I'm like, wow, this is fucking dope as shit. Like the experience, bro. Like
on the beach, right?
On the beach. Oh my god. Like just seeing and the Rolling Loud too.
Yeah.
I was like, bro.
Oh, no, you DJ Rolling Loud?
No, I didn't. I didn't. I went.
You went. Okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
That was an experience too. I wish I did. I mean, Matt Zingler, hit me up, man.
Yeah, soon come, bro. Soon come, bro. We'll speak that into existence, man.
Yeah. But no, that was an experience. So I'm going more of that route. Yeah. I don't hate on clubs. But
you've been there, done that already.
I don't think I have, man. Not like I mean, I have, but these guys have, like my peers have DJed for nightclubs like 10 years consistently. I've only done it for like 2 or 3.
Yeah, but and you also know what it has to offer though, right?
Yeah, my thing is about being happy, and I'm not gonna. I'm a respectful person, but I'm also not gonna kiss your ass and follow your politics to be at this nightclub.
Right.
Nah, I need to be my own boss.
Yeah.
And also I think about numbers. Like Marcel and AR really opened up my eyes thinking about, all right, bro, you're getting a $1,500 check. That's amazing, DJing. Right. But the nightclub just made $1.5
million.
Imagine keeping 20%.
Right.
Why don't you become a partner?
Exactly.
Because at first I was like, bro, I don't want to be a partner. Like, I don't want to, let me just DJ and keep my fee.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, we're making, they taught me a lot about partnership. I'm like, oh shit, okay.
Because you, honestly, you bring the most value damn near. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, if somebody has to be there to put everything together.
Yeah.
But if the music's not good, the event sucks.
True.
You know what I mean? Like, that's value, bro. And
yeah,
you're right. Like, those clubs, I mean, if they're not paying enough, then it's like same thing with the artists. That's why all these artists want more pay, because they're the reason why the venue's getting paid. They're the reason, you know,
chains
what I mean?
Or whatever. Yeah.
So.
I mean, they pay. I mean, $1,500 is a lot, bro. Like, I mean, I'm not saying I'm getting that paid, but like there's different nightclubs that pay different fees and whatnot.
Yeah.
But why get paid $1,500 when you become a partner of a brand and all this and make 20-30% of $1 million?
Exactly.
Like, I never thought of like that. You start thinking more business. So also an experience. That's what we are. Altura is literally a party slash experience, which we're just throwing shows, eventually leading to headliners with, like, you know, maybe Jay Cortez, Bad Bunny, you know, I mean, that's huge, but eventually into lineup and having a whole festival like a Rolling Loud.
You got the team to do it. You got the people around
you. Shout out to them, man.
Shout out to Sel, you know what I'm saying? All, you know,
I didn't know you know them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I've sat down with them a couple of times. Yeah, I've been trying to get Sel on a fucking show, man. That motherfucker needs to pull up, bro.
Worst texter. You want to get him talking, bro? I'm talking shit.
Yeah.
I'll tell him right now.
Yeah.
All you got to do is text him something political.
Yeah.
Something you don't agree. Bro, he'll write back. Oh, fuck that, that, bro.
Fuck the vaccine type shit.
Yeah, like, oh, you got something, crazy. Anything political, bro. Yeah. He's on it, bro. Okay, yeah. But you tell him, hey, bro, so do we run ticket sales at like this tier? Uh-huh. And like, he'll respond. I'm going to say, like, yeah, he's harder. He's hard to get to sometimes.
No, it's all good. I know he's super busy. And, yeah, you know.
He runs a lot of divisions too in Revelation. Bro. I'm just giving him shit.
No, bro. They've really like changed the. Bro, they influenced the city so much, bro, with the Revelation and what they built over there. It's just amazing, bro. It's just absurd, like, to compete with the Strip. You know what I'm saying?
Definitely.
It's crazy, bro. So that's, you know, I'm really interested in, you know, those kinds of people.
Yeah,
it's
for
like,
sure.
It's like, dude, how'd you make that happen?
Yeah.
It's like, you're not even a DJ. You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
They know the world.
Exactly.
And it takes a lot of trial and error.
Yeah.
I'm sure they failed to make it. Like I said. Sure. Yeah. You being, I don't know how much time we have. You being... like on the hip hop side and whatnot. I know you go to Dre's, you go to Marquee, you see Travis Scott and whatnot. Like, what do you prefer? Like going to a festival, a show, a concert, a club? Like, what is your priority? Like number one through three. Like, is it festival first? Is it nightclub first or concert first? Like club? You as a goer, I'd love to ask people because maybe I'm in the wrong. Like a lot of people do like nightclubs. Like fuck that. I like bottle pop. I like showing off. I like bitches in my section.
Yeah. The club is on the very bottom. Whatever the lowest fucking thing is, the lowest rank is, that's where I put the club, okay?
Okay.
Because number one, I'm numb to it. I'm born and raised here, you know.
Yeah.
I've been through it. I've done it all. And to me, it's really corny. And to me, it's just a robbery. Like, I'm not paying $10,000. I'm not paying $1,000 for this fucking one bottle.
That's like,
when like we got like 10 people here, bro. Like that means one shot. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And like, I'm not the type of dude to go out with people where it's like, oh, let's all ante up for a table. I'm like, bro, come on, man. Like I'll just pay for it. Like what? Like who's inviting? Who's putting this together? Like you pay for it, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying? Or whatever the case is. But yeah. I don't want to go out like having, oh, you Zell me, bro. And like doing all that shit. Right. You
bro,
know what
that's
I'm saying?
That's Zell,
I don't,
bro.
Yeah. I don't do that. I don't, you know what I'm saying?
It happens.
Yeah, the club.
Like, how are we gonna do this? I'll do it on my card and yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
So it's just a robbery.
What else? What about the artist aspect? Like being like tight or like the artist performance? Like what is that too? Like,
yeah,
the
Dre's is cool, right? Dre's is unique, is amazing. So, you know, there's some people that I would, you know, Lil Wayne. Oh, I'm there for sure. You know what I'm saying? I'll pay some bucks to go see Lil Wayne.
Yeah.
Even though It's not really a show for him. You know, he's just getting on stage and kind of just playing some songs, right?
Really? That's how it feels like? It doesn't feel like a concert?
No, it's just a different setting because, you know, it's just a different setting. It's different energy. People are partying. People are, you know, just... It's just it's a flex. It's a flex-a-thon in the club, you know? And I'm not a flexer. I'm not a flexer.
Same here.
You know? So I'm kind of just... I'm about the music and I'm about the experience. I want to enjoy and remember this time, right?
Got it.
And then you got the bottle rats, you know, in the club. You know what I mean? You got the bottle rats, you know, and it's like... Nah, the club is at the bottom of my list. But at the top of my list,
I like
would
the
be,
reasons why, because it has to be. Yeah, I like hearing this. This is how I learn. This is how we learn. Go ahead.
Right. And that's just me, but I'm a pretty like chill, conservative dude kind of.
Okay.
But the top of my list is a concert.
Concert.
Yeah. Because it's just like, you know, it's an intimate relationship because I'm paying to come see one person.
Mm.
And this person is coming to perform for the people that have invested in them. So they care way more about that performance than if they go to a club or they go to a festival. Or they go do this and anything else, or a TV performance or whatever.
Yeah.
This is direct to fan relationship performance. This is the most intimate setting.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? And I prefer smaller concerts. You know, Brooklyn Bowl is beautiful, but like arena concerts, like I went to the Watch the Throne tour at the MGM with
classic.
And
bro, I'm a big Kanye fan.
Oh Lord!
So
yeah,
to see two goats up there,
I was mesmerized.
The pillars, they both come out.
Yes, I was mesmerized, bro. I was
seeing
in.
Two people and they rap back and forth because they.
When Jay-Z was rapping and he wasn't even like
he sounds
around.
The same.
He just moves around like this, just sways back and forth. And I was just I was in a trance. Yeah,
me too.
But that was a huge arena, and I was way up at the top.
MGM.
And I was at the top, and I was still locked in. But like when I go see, you know, like, you know,
someone smaller.
I saw Chance the Rapper at Brooklyn Bowl.
Okay.
One of the most amazing concerts I ever been to.
Really?
Oh. Beautiful.
Wow.
Wonderful. And I'm a big fan, but it's just like, you know, you got their merch tour, you get the full experience of that artist.
Yeah.
And then they're right there.
And he's really fucking with the people.
And because he knows these people paid to see him.
Okay.
They didn't pay to see him in such and such and such and such and such and such. Right. So
got it.
It's really like an intimate performance. And then second festivals. I like festivals For if I have like VIP tickets.
Got it.
If I got GA tickets, I ain't fucking
with I feel you. I'm bougie too. I think I'm getting older. Yeah. I mean, my wifey, every time we go somewhere, Rolling Loud.
Yeah.
Like, or even if I'm DJing, bro, like, whatever, I need VIP. I need somewhere to sit down and I can be comfortable and watch these artists.
Exactly. Go ahead.
Well, I noticed that you said about concerts that. You get the full experience and they're for you.
Yeah.
One thing, festival is, what is missing, they get time slots. So they don't get like fucking 2 hours.
They don't get to do
like Chance the Rapper. Chance the Rapper might get like 30 minutes, 35. Right. That's like seven songs, which is,
exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like.
And he can't talk a lot, so he can't give you that full like, what's up everybody? You know, how's everybody? You know.
Yeah, except the headliner. The headliner got some time.
He got two hours. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I went to Day in Vegas. You go there?
Vegas? My first time going this year.
Oh, you didn't go last time?
No. So, I thought it was gonna be fake.
For real?
I thought it was fake. Like, everyone was like, is this real? I'm like, what? It came out of nowhere. Like, I didn't know who produced it.
It was dope. It was dope. But I had GA. Me and my girl at the time, we were just running around that bitch and like these 18-year-old kids running around us. I was like, I'm about to fight one of these little kids, bro. Like, bro, a whole bunch of weird shit. It was like, and then, but it was cool. But I was just too tired and shit. You know, I was just
3 days too.
3 days, bro.
And you live in Vegas, man.
Yeah, man. It was hot, and you know, it just wasn't a, you know, just, you know, I just need VIP, bro. Cause I'm bougie, you know, And I want to be with, I want to be around people with money. I don't want to be around these little ass kids with no, you know what I mean?
And this is, they're young. They don't have the job. They haven't worked as hard as you have, like to get to where you're at. No. I'm the same way. My wife and I, VIP all day.
Bougie, bro.
VIP all day. That's interesting to ask you about those, like the tier, what tier you bring it in. Cause I always ask people like, you know, nightclubs are obviously around for a reason.
Right.
And they're still prospering. I mean, they're still there. I know festivals have emerged more and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of them have failed, like the Fire Festival.
Oh, yeah, that's
and
terrible.
That
shit.
You
that's
definitely hilarious. Have to have one thing that Matt Zingler and Tariq from Rolling Loud said, are you scared of all these hip-hop festivals popping up now that you're here? Mm-hmm. He says, no, because everything that's made authentically, people will recognize.
Exactly.
And Tariq's a fucking hip hop head, and I'm a fucking Latin head. I'm a reggaeton. I know everybody who's new.
The resume. You came up through the house parties, bro. But that is so important to people who want to know who you are.
Okay.
It's like, bro, he's the real deal. You know what I'm saying? He didn't just fucking start DJing last year. You know what I mean? And he worked in the fucking office for 6 years and got tired of it. No, you came up, bro. You know what I mean? You're the real
straight
deal.
Up. That's been my That literally, I'm blessed, man. Like, I really take this seriously. Mm-hmm. They pay for my house, my car, my bills, my food. Everything I've accomplished, literally, DJing.
Mm-hmm.
They're not even the military. The military, I'm in the reserves, so it only pays so much.
Right.
It's for insurance and dental, man. Like, I love the military.
Them
I love America.
Looking nice, man. That team's looking nice, dog.
Hey, $12 a month.
That's can't insurance. Beat that. You can't beat
but
that.
But everything I've done is DJing. I take it seriously, and I'm super like grateful for everything. Yeah. Definitely. For sure.
Well, it's so important because like as somebody, you know, you're starting this out to the brand and it's important for new people that want to know who you are.
Yeah.
And they can, bro, you need a mini doc or something. So show people who you are. It came up with because, you know, the brand is the brand, but you are the brand at the end of the day. The people
who represent it,
you guys are the brand.
Yeah.
And if you're the real deal, like AR is the real deal. You know, I've known AR for years and years and years.
Yeah.
He's been doing this shit for a long
really
time.
And he's young. Still,
and he's super young.
He's
dog.
Still young.
He's super young.
Yeah, my dude, you're only 23, 24. My bro, you still
it blows my mind.
Yeah, but he's ahead of the game. This was good. I told him, I said, bro, by 30, if this dude, this shit takes off, I promise you will retire.
And he's so smart.
Yeah, he's smart.
He's so smart,
dude. Yeah. He's fast, smart.
Disciplined. I told him to get he's disciplined.
Yeah.
He doesn't drink or smoke or anything, and bro. He's just
they have his little tequilas here and there. We're celebrating, but you're right. He doesn't smoke, drink. Yeah.
Well, he has like a, I don't want to put him on blast, but he talked about it on our podcast when I had him on. He has like this thing where like alcohol just goes right through him. It's not like this kidney thing.
He said
right?
he can't get drunk. I'm like, motherfucker, what? And he's a big dude too. I'm like, yo, like, it's hard to him get him drunk, but I've never seen him drunk. I've seen him like.
He doesn't. You won't catch AR slipping, bro.
No, he's
about the party. He's about the
music. Best partner I've ever had, man.
Yeah.
Like, I like to call him my partner, man, and Marcel too, and they're dope as fuck. And like I said, like last but not least, I don't know if we're ending up or not, but like the Altura thing is literally a party, a show, a vibe, an experience.
Yeah.
And later on, introducing, Latin artists and stuff like that. It's always an experience. The experience is the biggest thing.
Are you guys just gonna stay here in Vegas or what?
I want to eventually do an Altura everywhere.
Right.
Yeah.
On tour, yeah.
But for now, I told AR we gotta conquer our market for sure.
But that market's wide open. Ain't nobody fucking with you guys. Have competition? No.
We got Baja Beach Fest in Rosarito. You got like some stuff in LA. They have Miami. I mean, they're kind of
like, I'm just saying like Las Vegas.
Oh, Vegas?
Ain't nobody out here doing it like you guys.
Mostly concerts and venues and stuff like that. I really,
You guys are the core. You guys are the city. You guys are like the essence. You know what I mean?
That's what me and AR were really trying to be part of the streets. Like the streets know us.
The not streets some, run not everything.
Some
hood
shit, but like, awesome. Hey, I'm really in the streets. Like, how are we meeting people? People that work 9 to 5s that just like Latin music and fuck with us.
Yeah.
Like, not these, you know, industry. I'm only cool with industry people. Yeah. Nah, I'm cool with the. I like the common people.
Exactly.
Industry shit. I'm like, nah, man. That's why I wanted to stay away from nightclubs, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry, you don't nightclubs now.
I'm still doing.
You get the bag, right?
For sure. Like, I'm not shaming them. I just think it's a. I wanted to go this route.
Right.
Yeah. But there's a lot of politics in nightlife, and every DJ can tell you that.
Yeah.
Unless the guys who are grandfathered in, the guys who are OGs,
they probably.
But they all went through the bullshit.
Right.
For sure.
Where do you see yourself in 2-3 years right now?
2-3 years for sure. This Altura having a lineup.
So that's your main focus right now?
Yes, 100%.
Yeah,
I'm a partner, percentage wise.
That's why the partnership is so important, because you're invested into it.
Yeah.
You're going to put all that much more energy into it and focus into it.
And like I said, like Marcel put in perspective, man. Like, I was like, well, what do you mean a partner? I didn't know what that meant. He goes, bro. Because I wanted to do another Latin night downtown. He goes, bro, honestly, man, you can go ahead and do it because I needed a bag.
Yeah, I needed a bag.
I'm like, I need this bag, bro. He's like, okay, you can go. He told me, quote unquote, you can go get that bag, but we're not going to make you partner. You're just going to be a DJ. And I'm like, can you explain a partnership? And he goes, would you rather get $1,000 for one night or make 20% of a show? Well, I'm like, well, 20%. He goes, think about when you make $3-4 million, dude, at a festival. I'm like, holy fuck. He goes, you'll get there. It's going to take some time and a lot of fucking work.
Mm-hmm.
But 20% of, or whatever percentage you're going to get of, you know, millions of dollars. Like, you know, think about it. It's going to get there. Obviously not right now, but.
Right. It's like buying a house. Like, you buy the house now, but you know, down the line, you get that money back.
Yeah. DJ's bought me, bro, like everything that I still can't believe that I'm full-time DJ, but I said, take it seriously, man, everything. Right. But yeah, 2-3 years for sure. Altura and bringing Latin experiences and culture here.
That's beautiful.
I really want to, man. I really want to.
Yeah. We need it. We have it, and there's lots of, like, you can get your taste at the Latin nights here and there around town. You know?
Yeah, there's a lot of them.
Specifically Blue Martini.
Blue Martini
got the
Thursdays?
Best one. Yeah, they do.
Thursdays,
well,
yeah.
Who else got the best one out here?
There's a couple of them. They're all like off the like a little off like ways and whatever. But Blue Martini does a very good job of keep helping locals out, catering.
Yeah,
prices aren't high. We're not bougie.
Right.
You get the nightlife experience with like lights and the music and the sound and the people.
Yeah.
You get the experience without the prices.
Right.
I mean, obviously it's not going to be marquee when fucking Carnage comes out or whatever.
Right.
But we're not
pretending. Yeah, you're not paying $10,000.
You're paying $150, $250, $300 for a bottle.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's switch gears for a second, man. Local artists here, Latin artists out here in Vegas, man. What's the scene looking like? What's that world looking like right now?
We're small. We're very small. Even with DJs, we're small compared to LA. I can name 20 DJs right now.
Right.
Houston, I can name 10.
And you think it's just because our population.
Yeah. And we're growing. But local artists, for sure, I've worked with Zelly Vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Zelly Vibes is fucking dope.
She's been doing it for a while.
I've known her for, she used to just sing. She wasn't even like into hip hop.
Oh, you knew her before she started rapping and
15
shit?
Years ago.
Oh, wow.
In a quinceañera, dude.
Oh, really?
I met her through a mutual friend. She sang. She actually can sing.
She sings in Spanish.
She would sing mariachi style.
Mm.
That's the best way to put it.
Mm.
And then I saw her a couple years later, and she looked totally different.
Yeah.
She got on the hip hop stuff.
Yeah.
And, well, I mean, she was 15 at the time. Obviously, you're going to... 15, bro. I had like big ass earrings, big ass clothes. So she definitely transformed to a dope ass artist. I work with her frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Also YOL, Puerto Rican dude from Massachusetts, but he lives in Vegas now. I work with him. I have him on
the
lineup.
Hold on, he's a street performer?
No, he's from Massachusetts.
Yeah.
I work with him now.
He lives in Massachusetts.
Yeah, my bad. I got you. Some spit or something.
No,
yeah.
I was thinking about somebody else.
YOL. He's a Puerto Rican dude that moved from Massachusetts over here.
Okay.
I work with him. Dope. Hard worker.
Mm.
I seen him accomplish a lot.
Mm.
Super dope. And then some dope new artists that I just got in the lineup is Demire Major.
Mm-hmm.
D Major.
Mm-hmm.
She's this new Latin artist. She's female.
Yeah.
Fucking dope. I can already tell she wants it because for our show, she's like, hey, I have a band.
Yeah.
I got a corista, like a chorus guy with me.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, you are the real deal. You're not just back playing like, or what's it called? A playback.
Right.
She's like, no, I do a full deal. I heard her music. She's young. Damari Major, another one. Shout out to them. Dope. And shout out to my boys too. Also, Sencilla Conexión. Mm-hmm. Conexión boys. They're over there with Hardin.
Okay.
They run the Latin stuff over there. Okay. Cuban dudes. I don't work with them often, mm-hmm. but we know each other. And I got to shout them out because they're fucking working hard in the mm-hmm. city for putting Latin music on.
Dope. Yeah. So it is really small still, huh?
Yeah. Bro, I can't even name 10, maybe 15 DJs out here, man. It's Latin DJ. Like it's been... Música Urbana. And also, we separated too, man. Like in New York and Miami, you got Puerto Rican, Dominican, Cubans. You see, you have so many. Yeah. Out here, we have more like Mexican, yeah. Central Americans, some Colombians and stuff like that. Yeah,
barely, though. all the Cuban girls came over here to start stripping from Miami.
Hey, there's a lot of Cubans in Vegas.
A lot
too.
Of Cubans. Right. Because it's the next best thing to Miami, yeah, bro. Yeah. For real.
But I'd love for you to get some of them on here. Just sure. So you know. I love that you have the hip hop following and stuff. That's why like it gives us another platform to people understand that we're not that, you know, oh shit, there's a Latin scene. It's not just like one thing, we're just fucking Maracas, like, bro. Like that's like saying hip hop is like hip hop to the boogie to the hip hop isn't like that anymore. Yo, same with like the Maracas, bro. That's
totally different.
60s like Celia Cruz shit. Yeah. Like
Yo, I think everybody really needs to experience a Latin night, but not even just experience a Latin night, like really like figure out what's going on. Yeah. Cause when I started going to Latin nights, I'm like, I don't fit in here. I'm not.
No, we're accepting. You know, acceptance.
No, for real. But but as men, it's weird because you got to learn how to dance. You got to be comfortable with dancing. You know.
You got to dance.
The women are different. Like the approach to those women are different than the approach to somebody on a regular night, right? So.
Oh, for sure.
It's different.
You can't conquer a real Latin woman without dancing, either bachata, merengue, or just see her, or if not, date her and then ask her to, hey, I need you to teach me. The two steps aren't hard. It's a
different world. It's a different world.
It is.
It's a lot. The culture is very strong.
Yes.
You know what I mean? But like I said, every time I go to Blue Martini, I'm going on Thursday.
Go Thursdays.
I'm going Thursdays.
Or I'll do that Wednesdays.
Dog.
I'll do that Wednesdays.
I need to pull up. But I just had COVID, so I'm like not, it scared the shit out of me.
Shit, you okay?
Yeah, I'm good. I just got over it like 2 weeks ago. I had to go to the ER.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, I thought it was over.
Bro, you're not the first kid, and you're young and healthy.
I'm 30, yeah, man. I'm super healthy. I take vitamins. I'm always exercising everything, bro. It hit me hard.
You're like the fourth person in the month that... that are healthy and young like me. I'm like, I think I'm healthy. Shit. Almost ended up in the ER.
Yeah, bro. I went to the ER.
Oh shit, you were there?
I was there for 14 hours, but I couldn't breathe. Scariest shit ever.
So you got it and it's built up?
No, I got it. And then I had
right
like,
away?
No, I got it. And then I had symptoms like, you know, dizziness or not dizziness, but like disorientation is weird. It was like a weird sickness.
Is this your first time getting
it? My first time getting it. I had the headaches. I had all those symptoms. My taste and my smell went away. And then I was getting better. And then the 10th day, I woke up. I couldn't breathe.
Get the fuck out.
And then I was
your symptoms gone?
My other symptoms were gone.
But you just couldn't breathe?
I couldn't breathe. And I didn't have any problem breathing up until that 10th day. So, and then I was lying to myself. I was like, no, this is nothing. Like, I'm just, like, I didn't get enough sleep or something that last night.
Yeah.
And that night I was like, nah, bro, I can't breathe. But the fucked up thing about it is you can't breathe and then you start panicking. So you can't even breathe anymore.
You can't breathe even more.
Yeah. So it was, so I had to go and then, I had to go and I had pneumonia. I ended up having COVID pneumonia.
That's huge, bro. Yeah. I mean, like, that's crazy.
It's scary. It was scary, bro. I was in there. I was like,
and you're out here now, like.
Bro, the ER was packed. I didn't even go to the back. They had to stick me with the IV.
Outside?
In the waiting room.
Shut the fuck up.
I didn't, bro. In the antibiotics, in the waiting room for 14 hours, bro. Because everybody, it was so packed, bro. And it was like,
the
I
ER
wasn't
was packed?
Dying. Yeah, it was packed, bro.
With COVID or just everything?
Both.
Fuck. You know so, what like. Saying? Not to get political or anything. So did you not take it seriously before? And now
I didn't. Mm. I didn't think it was going to happen to me. I almost wanted to get it so I can get it over with. So I can be like, I got it. It didn't, because I never thought it would hit me hard. You know what I mean? Because I really take care. Yeah, because I knew it was real because I knew people that had it, but I didn't think it was ever going to do anything to me. You know what I mean?
Were you more of like, man, let's open everything up. Fuck this. Not even that serious. How was that dude at first?
No, for sure. I'm pro, give people the option, whatever they want to do. Give business owners the option, whatever they want to do.
Yeah.
Right. But I get it because the medical infrastructure isn't there to like, when people get sick, they can't deal with it.
Thousands
right?
of people.
Right. Yeah. All these people that don't give a fuck about the sickness, when they get sick, they're going to go to the hospital. And then it's like, you know, that's not set up for all these people getting sick at once. So I get it, but I was definitely like, after a while I was like, okay, like the
this is big, man. That's near death.
Yeah, the death percentage though is like it, you know, every, you know, there's you know, excluding AR, he lost his grandmother, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, right. But he got really sick too.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that get affected by. But when you look at the numbers, it, you know, it's like 1% of people that are that are dying that get it, right? So, it's just a tough, really tough situation for any like governor or anybody to deal with, bro. You know,
either way you swing, you're gonna get haters. Exactly. Or not haters, but like ridicule or whatever.
It just showed us how unprepared we are.
We are. Yeah.
Unprepared, bro. If this was a deadly, like
50%, imagine.
Bro, 10%. How many people would be dying, bro?
Bro, the hospitals would be fucking.
It would be, it'd be chaos, bro. Everything, this whole system was shut down, bro.
Yeah, I just got my second vaccine on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm not like forcing on anybody. I'm not against it. Right. I just, I seen like, look at you. You're the fourth person I know in a month that got it really bad. I'm like, I've gotten it before. It wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. But the whole, like the new strain or whatever, I just don't want to end up like that. We're nightlife, bro. I'm around people all the fucking time, bro.
That's why I was like, yo, I'm not going out because this shit ain't worth it to me. You know what I'm saying? It scared the shit out of me. But yeah, I mean,
crazy.
That's what I tell everybody too. Is like, yo, because the thing with me is like, I'm not getting that fucking vaccine before I got sick.
Yeah.
And then I was just totally against it. I didn't even really look into it. Right? I was just like, I'm not putting that shit in my body.
I am the same way, bro.
You know? And I told all my friends, and I continue to stress it. Whether you get the vaccine or you don't, just make sure you know why. Because if you get in, if you get it and you have to go to the ER and you have to sit there and you don't know if you're going to live or die in this situation, you really start thinking like, I didn't even look into the vaccine. I didn't even do my homework. At least you can live with the live with your decision if you know why you didn't get the vaccine or you did get it. Just educate yourself on the numbers, you know? So
I just think there's so much information though.
So much misinformation.
There's false, good, missed. Like there's so much. It's like, bro, which one do I believe?
I know that video that just went around with that dude, that doctor, and he was like, in three years, everybody with the vaccine is gonna die. And it was like, bro, what? Like, bro,
and then people just believe it and all that shit.
But they just believe it.
I didn't even see it.
No, I don't mean to scare you. I'm like, shit, I just
got the vaccine.
Bro, but then I looked into it and it's like, yo, I found way more information debunking everything that fool said. Because that's the problem. We hear something like that and then we agree with it. That goes
or
like,
just look at it. Fuck, I shouldn't have gotten it.
But we don't even, like, who is that dude? Who is that dude? You know what I'm saying? What's his credentials? What are his political, like, views? Because that's a big thing. Because people will say that.
Yeah.
Doctors, scientists, they're humans too, and they have political views too. Yeah. So they might withhold information or give information that, you know, pushes their political thing. And that's where it's like, yo, we have to take politics out of medicine because this shit is ugly.
I think so, yeah.
You know,
yeah. I think that's one of the best sayings I've heard in a minute. You gotta take politics out of medicine.
Because,
we do.
Bro, it's like, you can't, bro. You can't do it. People are gonna just suffer. Everybody's gonna suffer, bro. Yeah. Just the right decisions are never gonna get made.
Yeah, well, the festivals and nightclubs are back, and no one's following rules no more.
Nobody gives
a
fuck.
We're also drained too.
Isn't it weird that nobody gives a fuck, really?
I think we're drained. We all complied for a whole year, 10 months or whatever.
Right.
We complied. I think humans are just exhausted, man. And like, fuck, if I get it, I get it. Fuck it. Like, they're not thinking anymore. There's a lot of responsible people. I think so too, but
yeah.
Shit, man.
I know, bro. It's a weird world because, like,
who knew? Like, man, I still remember it was Blue Martini. It was a Thursday. It was dead.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, damn, no one came out to a Latin night. Yeah. It was dead. It was right when all the cases in Seattle were popping off.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, this shit's about
everybody
to shut down.
Scared. Yeah,
I thought it was gonna be like 2 or 3 weeks. I'm like, oh, we're gonna go back to
18 months later, bro.
Bro, we're
still here, dog. I don't think it's ever gonna stop for real. Unless they get a real vaccine, but that ain't happening.
Yeah, I think this one only lasts 8 months, and you gotta get a booster. What's like any vaccine? Vaccines aren't supposed to last.
Yeah.
Like, I'm in the military, they give us all types of shit. Typhoid, fucking penicillin, anthrax.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, different vaccines that have different...
they go away over time.
Yeah, anthrax, I think, is 10 years. Mm. It's scary as fuck. I'm like, you putting anthrax in my body?
Yeah.
Fuck.
I know, dog.
Bro, military don't give a fuck. You GI. You government issue now, bro.
That's what my cousin said. My cousin, he just came back from Afghanistan. He was like, bro, fuck that. He was like, bro, just get the vaccine, bro.
Honestly,
they pump us full of shit over there all the time,
bro.
Yeah.
And they make you go train. Like, I'll get like 4 shots in one day.
Yeah.
And be like, all right, go and train. I'm like, excuse me, you go and fucking train, dude. You got a 14-hour mission. I'm like, why? And you get a little fever, a little tired.
Yeah.
You got a 14-hour mission to go train.
Wow.
Yeah. They don't.
Wow.
So when like everyone's like, oh, the vaccine, I felt a little chills. I didn't feel shit on both of them. I think because I'm so used to military pumping you 4 shots in one day.
Yeah,
go train.
Yeah.
Fuck out my face.
Yeah, that's crazy. People don't know that. You know what I'm saying? And people do, bro, we eat fast food. I'm going to keep it real.
Fast food?
We eat all this extra shit that's killing us anyway, bro.
Oh, yeah.
So, I don't know.
Today, I shouldn't have.
But just the information, like, there has to be, I'm all for free speech, bro, but people, like, we have to, like, figure out how we can govern information when it comes to medicine. Everything else, say, talk all this shit what you want, but when it comes to medicine and medical emergencies, we need to figure out how we can filter this information because, like, if you're not medical, this is what I tell everybody, especially people on Twitter and all the social media. Yo, if you're not medically trained, if you don't have experience in the medical field, like professional experience, please shut the fuck up. Go do whatever you were doing before. You're making the situation worse.
I agree.
It's just bad, bro.
No, it's
frustrating,
agree.
Bro. It's frustrating just because so many people believe anything. You know what I mean?
I'm one of those people. I believe. Yeah. I'll look at my, which one's true?
Exactly.
Fuck. You got to go do research, and then that research viable or, you know, credible, whatever. Like, yeah, it gets crazy.
Bro, and the internet is just so full of shit.
It's a bliss and what's it called?
It's a blessing and a curse.
Yeah, it's like, fuck, man. Yeah, like, man. Like, oh, man. It's terrible, bro.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are watching probably all know are going through the same shit as
for
us.
Sure, like, especially fuck, people our age, you know? People our age don't want to get the vaccine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I got it because I did enough research and I'm like, yo, the military's pumped me with enough shit. If I'm going to fucking get a tracker on me, it's probably already on me.
Right. No, for sure. Yeah,
but,
people are.
But I'm not pushing on anybody.
Exactly.
That's one thing. Don't push it on nobody. And don't shame it either. If you want to get it. If you don't, you don't.
Don't
respect.
Even talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
It's a weird subject.
Yeah, just fucking, if you don't get it, just don't get it. If you do get it, just get it and keep it moving.
Yeah.
You know, like. It's just like we feel like everybody's opinion matters and just make the best decision for yourself, bro.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's like, it doesn't have to be more complicated than that.
I agree. Yeah. I got it. I'm in the front lines. Fuck it.
Yeah.
I'm in the front lines.
Yeah, you really are. And a lot of my friends
my wife's a cocktail waitress, so.
Oh, yeah. So she is too.
So we both got it at the same time. Yeah. She's in the front lines for real, but she's happy that they mandated the mask for her, mm-hmm. for her purposes. Like, because also it helps her, like, annoying ass customers.
Yeah, for real.
Like,
bro,
they get two Hennessy's and on her face, like, yo, it helps her out.
Yeah, bro, and it's loud in there. She has to get close to him.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. And a lot of my friends are in your situation, too.
Mm.
And, like, you know, they make money off music. Like, my boy, he's an artist, or he's an artist manager, and he had to go to the Lyrical Lemonade Summer Smash, right? And
I don't know what that is.
Lyrical Lemonade. You don't know Lyrical Lemonade is?
No. It's a competition?
No, it's a company. He shoots all the hip hop videos, like all the best hip hop videos. This dude Cole Bennett, he shoots them all, right? So he has a company out of Chicago called Lyrical Lemonade. So he makes all the, so he throws a festival every year with like the biggest hip hop names in the country, right? But you know, they're doing all these vaccine mandates, right? To go to these festivals and shit. And my boy's like, bro, I don't want to get this vaccine, but if I don't get this vaccine, I don't make money. And I'm like, damn, that's fucked up, bro.
That's a fucked up situation.
That's fucked up, you know?
They're making it, they can't force you, but they're making it. Like, going to this festival, I had to submit either my vaccine card or COVID test 3 days, 2 days before, and they made me pay for it. They're doing it to employ. I don't want to even get into it. Nightlife. Yeah, but not nightlife, back to like relaying, like segueing back to like nightlife and everything else, man, it's really affecting. Like, it's still weird.
Yeah.
It's still weird.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, because everybody's still very, like, I think at this point, we all know somebody who's had COVID or struggled with COVID or has had a COVID horror story. And it's like, so now I tell all my friends, man, when you go out, be careful, bro. That shit ain't no joke. A lot of my friends drinking, smoking, not
sharing
really,
shit.
You know what I'm saying? Sharing shit, not really. I know they don't take care of themselves. You know, no, a lot of people in nightlife don't really, it's hard to take care of yourself.
Oh,
like,
but
you know,
real quick about nightlife, I didn't realize how much we are alcoholics.
Oh, big time.
When we hang out with like homies, they're like, holy fuck, bro, you drink
like
a lot.
Fish.
I'm like, really? He goes, yeah. That's when I realized about 2-3 years ago. I actually have a story. I opened up for Anuel, this reggaeton dude. He's actually from like the streets.
Dude.
I got so fucking drunk. His manager, him and Ozuna had a beef at the time.
Wow.
And I got so drunk, the dude was like, hey man, no Ozuna. Yeah. I was mad at them because they didn't send me a track list of what I was going to play for his performance.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have a DJ. They weren't professional.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking played Ozuna. I was just drunk. And they're Puerto Rican. And it's a big ass dude. Yo, papi, I told you. No, Osuna. Nah, I'm sorry. It's a feature. I'm sorry. Yeah, boom. Yeah. 2 songs later, Osuna. Oh, that dude was pissed. I was obliterated, though.
Oh, Lord.
I was like, yo, like, he was even looking at me like, yo, check this motherfucker, bro. I don't want to hear no fucking Osuna. I'm performing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was wasted,
damn,
bro.
Damn, dog.
After that, my wife's like, yo, you really got to watch your drinking.
Yeah. You can burn a bridge that way, huh?
Yeah, 2-3 years. I'm glad they were cool about it. Like, I didn't fuck up or anything.
Yeah, yeah.
I apologize. Oh, my bad. There were features. I mean, he's in a lot of shit.
Yeah.
But that's the last time I stopped heavy drinking.
Yeah.
Now I pick my like. But yeah, we're functioning alcoholics, man.
That's not for real. Yeah. Again, yeah, before COVID, I was bartending.
And, oh, shit.
Yeah, so I know about that, bro. It's tough.
You bartending at Dre's?
No, I was I bar backed at Dre's, but I was bartending at Delano.
Got it.
Yeah, at the Mandalay Bay.
So it was dope seeing Dre's grow then as a hip hop.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Were you there at the EDM era or no?
No, no. Horrible. I was there like 2017.
Oh, 2013, bro, when they had like EDM shit?
Yeah.
I hated the strip. 2013, yeah. I fucking hate it. Afrojack.
I don't get the EDMs. Are you like into the EDM or are you kind
of? I respect it. I'm not into it. Okay. My thing is, how the fuck do you stand this for 6 hours, G?
Oh, man. It's 6 hours. It's like this.
At least hip hop, it has soul to it. Like, yeah, it's got so many ranges of BPMs.
Exactly. Exactly.
Fuck, bro.
Yeah, bro.
Not hating on EDM, though.
Yeah, I got to stop hating on EDM, bro. Because shout out to Cell and all them. They do their thing with that shit.
It sells for a reason, right? Yeah. Some people are really into it.
It's just I just feel like you gotta be on drugs. You gotta be on drugs to like really enjoy that shit. You know what I mean? But like I've met some girls and shit that they play that shit at the gym. That shit gets them going.
I mean, gym I can see.
Yeah.
My boy was like, oh, it's a vibe. It's a vibe. All right, cool. 4 hours later, bro, it's not a fucking vibe no more.
No.
I need something I can sing to, something I can sing along to.
Yeah, so it's weird, huh? Do you respect those DJs in that space?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Diplo.
Are they just playing?
Here's my thing. I talked to my homie earlier.
Yeah.
Like, Diplo, I respect, you know, like a guy like that. But honestly, like, guys who are on a big caliber, give them a small room to work with and hold a crowd. Mm. That's a working DJ.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Give these big guys, they don't know what the fuck to do. They got thousands of people. Of course, they're going to play anything, any drop.
They're going to like it.
Let's go off.
Right.
What I do like about hip hop, that if hip hop is not feeling you, they'll fucking tell you, what? Yeah. Like, bro, I told you, I had that dude that was a drug dealer. He's like, yo, why are you playing this Fetty Wap corny bullshit Drake? Yeah. Boy, I need some hood shit.
They'll hold you accountable.
200, I mean, was like, yo, I need this hip hop. Same with reggaeton. Yeah. A lot of people tell, like, you know, like, this is not it.
Yeah.
But I feel like EDM is like, 1, 2, 3. I still hold my ground. A lot of house DJs and techno DJs got mad at me. I'm like, look, I respect your guys' craft, but our craft is a lot different. Bro, I can go in. Okay, I can go in there easier.
Yeah, then you can
rock. You can come to my crowd. Exactly. I know I can. Now I might not rock it like you can, but I can come in there easier and at least
hold my weight.
Something. Yeah. You go to my realm, I promise you, you're gonna get eaten alive.
On you, yeah.
Yeah, you have like a dude with some grills.
Yeah.
It's like from like yo, you're on playing the wrong shit.
Yeah.
Same with reggaeton, like. You know, like the Puerto Ricans, if you play old shit, if you play in West Coast, they're still stuck in like 05, 06. Yeah. They'd be like, yo, Poppy, why you this old shit? Yo, Poppy, come on, bro. Yeah. Like, this is whack, bro. This is whack. Bro, I'm telling you, you go to techno, it's like, doom, doom, doom. I'm like, all right, let me see what happens. Nothing happened, bro.
Like, it's weird. It's like anticlimactic. I feel like it's never like, there's never.
I don't hate on it. I mean, I sound like a hater, but
I've been a cut. No, I am. I'm cool with that. Like, I like what I like. That's another problem, bro. It's okay to say you don't like something without being scared to be called a hater, bro. We got it.
I think that's a big thing.
Yeah, we got to denormalize that, bro. Got to denormalize that. I don't like it. But like you said, I do respect it, and I will like sit down with an EDM artist and try to. I want understanding. I need to figure this out because I went to what is it called EDC? I went to EDC, and I was just like, what is this?
Same
bro?
Year. The experience. This? Was dope.
Dope experience.
But the music, I'm like, yo, this dude's playing the same shit at this stage. Just a different remix. Yeah. I'm like, and all the drops, everybody gets excited.
I know, man.
It's not the
But it baffles my mind because it's so big. It's so many people are on it. If it was like a little subculture or subgenre or something, I would get it.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's fucking major. Super major.
It is major. I think it's oversaturated. I talked to AR about it, that it's oversaturated. Look at how big EDC is. That's 8-9 stages.
Yeah.
Reggaeton, maybe 1 or 2 stages, if that.
Yeah, you gotta raise the standards and really.
It's so new. Same hip hop only rolling out had 3 stages. That's not a lot.
No.
EDC had fucking 8 or 9, bro. Yeah. That means you don't know where the fuck to go.
Right.
Yeah.
Because that just shows like 3 stages. Like, you gotta be a special artist to get on the stage.
Reggaeton was only 1 or 2.
Yeah.
EDC was like 8-9 stages. You got like a smaller stage. You could be, and there's like 16 DJs on just that stage. Yeah. And 16, like, I'm like, dude, it's oversaturated. Yeah. It just shows that it's not hard again. I don't know, man.
Would you ever get into artist management?
Yes, for sure.
Have you done it before? Have you dabbled in it?
No, never have.
Who would you want to manage?
Like a big artist or somebody like?
Something else. You got to build them up.
Next Monday.
Hold on, don't you guys have a company? Or was that just AR?
I think that was just AR.
Oh, okay.
AR had a thing on the side. I don't know if he's doing it. I told him he's ADHD. He dabbles his hands in too many things.
Spreads himself
thin. I'm the same way. Mm-hmm. So I learned to, instead of having them spread myself thin, grabbing that monster in altura. That's it. This is my monster. Building a big ass titan.
Exactly.
Next Monday, or is it last Monday? I'm sorry. Okay. Sorry. My bad, dude. I love his shit. Last Monday's dope.
Is he from out here?
No, he's from New York. Okay. He's from East Coast. AR put me on from his style to his music. Dope. Mm-hmm. And then Sky Rompiendo, which is a big ass producer for J Balvin, commented under his shit. He's only got like 15 comments. Mm-hmm. If that dude, by the way, Sky Rompiendo, man, he really revived reggaeton. If he's like, bro, man, he's like
Dr. Dre?
More of the Timberland. Like
okay.
Timberland.
Oh, okay.
He's
okay.
Iconic, okay. But he's not that old. That's
okay,
the problem.
Okay, gotcha.
But he's just iconic, but not as old.
Gotcha.
He left a comment under his shit recently. Mm-hmm. He only had like 10 comments.
Mm-hmm.
For like maybe 300 likes.
Wow.
Which is not that bad. And I mean,
right,
whatever.
Right, right.
But like for Sky Rompiendo to reach out. So I mean, this guy's looking for him, or looking at him for already.
Wow.
I told AR, bro, we gotta fucking get this guy on the next lineup.
Yeah.
He's not even big in Vegas. Obviously, he's from New York or whatever.
Right.
But he's that's the one dope. For me. I would love to do him. And Yuel and Zelia would love to do that. You know, work with them in the future. Mm-hmm. I just don't have the time or the capital to really put $40,000 behind a record or something right now.
It's a lot of work doing artist management.
Yeah,
it's a lot of work.
But I don't think I would love to.
But I tell people all the time, DJs make the best managers.
Really? Because we know the music, what's hitting the street.
You know the music. You got your finger on the pulse of what's going on.
True.
You know the artist's needs. You know, like, the crowd's needs. If this is going to work, you know, sequence of songs. But you're also, like, the crutch for the artist on stage, but you're also the crutch for the artist musically. Mm. Like, they can lean on you for a professional music opinion. But usually DJs, they deal with the promoters. They deal with the venues a lot more, so they're more business inclined, you know.
Gotcha.
And that's like shout out my boy Brandon. He's a DJ. He went on tour with like what was that kid's name? I don't know. He has a song with Justin Bieber now, but
Kyla Roy, whatever.
Not Kyla Roy. No.
Is he pop or is he hip hop?
It's like pop, hip hop, pop kind
like,
of thing.
Okay, kind of like Kyla Roy in a way.
Kind of, yeah.
Oh, they do kind of like a mixture, but okay, I got it.
So
got
he
it.
Was he went on tour with him and he manages these artists, but it's like he has that DJ foundation
that helps,
and he just is so good behind the scenes, bro.
Damn.
So good. And I think you would be good too, just talking to you right now. And same thing with AR. He has that DJ foundation.
Yeah.
He can make these moves and people trust his decisions because he knows music first, and that's the most important thing. So
I did tell AR that eventually Altura, I wanted to become a management book artist. Like that's what Rolling Loud is doing. Mm-hmm. Rolling Loud is doing.
Mm-hmm.
They got a Ski Mask.
Yeah.
They got who else? They got all these guys and they'll book them on their lineup and they'll build them up. And well, obviously they're going to make money off them and get the artist paid. It's kind of like a business, a trade-off.
Exactly.
So I really want to build Altura where it's a 3-day festival. And it's like, for example, I get like a UL. But all right, bro, I'm going to manage you. I'm going to take 25% of all your income, but I'm going to put a lot of money behind you. I'm going to put you on stage with Balvin. I'm going to get you a collab with fucking Bunny.
Exactly.
You know, but I need 25% of everything. Like, I do want to get into that realm, but right now I don't think it's the time.
Right.
I really want to build a titan. I don't want to spread myself too thin.
Perfect. Yeah,
I learned that.
Yeah, you'll know. But but your brain's always moving, so you're probably keeping an eye.
Sucks. I think our artistic people, our brains are always like, oh, we can get this idea.
Exactly, bro. Exactly. Yeah, yeah no. Yeah, I'm always, I've always, that's been one of my dreams too, is being a part of the come up of an artist and really blowing them up.
Like just a Scooter Braun?
Yeah, just being part of the process, just finding them, you know, kind of helping them and helping them and then growing and growing and growing with them and then just, you know, going on tour. I've always wanted to go on tour and just be one of those, you know, one of those moving pieces behind the scenes.
Kind of like getting somebody signed or?
Getting somebody signed, but not
would you
even.
Like to be like a road manager or kind of like an overall
everything,
manager?
Everything.
So you handle his bookings, you handle everything?
Everything.
Collabs.
Collabs, music, bro.
That's a lot of work.
It is, but I love that kind of shit. I come from music, artist management, and I just love it.
Because there's always different types of, I've learned like in the scenes, there's like,
it's like tour
road manager. Yeah,
exactly.
And they do two totally different things.
Exactly.
Like,
wherever I could fit in. But
you would like to, if you could do it, if your artist said he's blown blowing up. He's like, yo, I want you on everything. Mm-hmm. You would do it all?
For sure.
Damn, that's easy. A lot of work. Hey,
easy.
Respect.
Easy.
Fuck.
Easy. I need to be busy.
Contracts.
I need to be busy.
Fucking dates. That's a lot of fucking work. I get frustrated with it. That's why I handle AR. I'm like, AR, these are the dates. We're going to do this.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. No, I feel you. Like, you know, I'm the kind of person where it's like I get distracted easy. So that's why sometimes I put too much on my plate because I need to be focused on like things, you know what I'm saying? So as long as I'm focused on productive things, I'm good. But if somebody like an artist, artist management is a full-time gig, bro.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
Good money, but
well,
hey.
If they're paying. Sometimes that shit ain't, you know what I mean? Like when you're building them up, you're losing money.
Yeah, well,
you know
what I mean? So. Like Scooter Braun, I mean, you saw him, he borrowed money from his dad for Justin Bieber. Mm-hmm. He had Justin Bieber living with him.
Yeah.
He's like, I fucking hit rock bottom.
Exactly.
And then boom, it just broke out.
Yeah, but you don't want to think it's dangerous to think you're the next Scooter Braun though. You know what I'm saying?
Okay,
like you gotta like pump your brakes and you know what I mean and really be smart about it.
I've never been in that realm, so that's like the only he's like the only guy I really know. I don't know any other managers. I mean, I know like LA Reid.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really know any other
But that's why I say like DJs, you know all these artists, you have all these connections just off of your name. And now when you say, I got this artist, like I'm working with, nobody has to know you're his manager. I got this artist I'm working with. Just
what's
a
collab?
Yeah, what's a collab? What's going on?
But how do you handle like percentages and shit?
Usually it's just back in like.
You do a contract, obviously,
yeah,
right?
You do like with collabs, you'll do a split sheet. You know,
33 each if it's three people, whatever.
Yeah, it depends. You know, whatever you guys come, whatever the agreement is. And then like, you know, so maybe that artist will get, you know, 30% of that because the producer will get 30, the other artist will get 30 or whatever the case is. And then you get a percentage out of his, you know, out of his thing. You know what I mean?
So it seems complicated to me, but I'm sure when you get in it, you learn.
That's why I really want to learn, like dealing with all that. I think that knowledge is like super valuable, bro.
Yeah, to be honest, the AR,
to have
AR
that business.
Right. AR told me he likes the behind the scenes shit. Mm-hmm. I'm a little bit more. I have a lot of like personality. I like fucking being in the front. Not like look at me, but it's more like let me give y'all a fucking experience.
Yeah.
Like let's
your energy,
like on my shows. Yeah, for sure. Behind the scenes, I'm like fuck this. Mm-hmm. Like
I know, bro. I can't
be on the side of the stage. Like oh, I'm proud of this. Not that that's amazing. Yeah, AR likes that.
Yeah.
I'm more like I'm gonna be rocking with the fucking Balvin. Like. I made this record with Balvin.
Exactly, like, yeah. Well, that's why it's important to have people on your team that can play that
everyone's
role.
Different, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, everyone's different.
That's beautiful, man.
I'm a bad negotiator. I'm
really?
Horrible. That's why I told Marcel, I'm like, bro, every time we're in meetings, Marcel, what's up, G? We need you.
Yeah.
You're coming in. He's the Wolf of Wall Street.
Oh, yeah,
with no
yeah.
suit, with shorts on.
Yeah.
Wolf of Wall Street, bro. He's good to go. I get too like, well, let's meet in the middle, man. Fuck that. That's Marcel. I'm like, oh shit,
dog. Yeah, and those are certain kinds of people. Not everybody's built that way.
Yeah, same here. I'm more of the showman. Mm-hmm. He's more of the bro. The motherfucking guy.
Teamwork makes a dream work, dog.
Yes, sir.
Well, I think we're rounding third base, man. Let's bring it home here. Is there anything else you want to shout out before we get out of here?
Just shout out to anybody again. Listening, if you're at the end, that who stayed and watched the whole thing, for real, because that's you're taking time out of your day learning about me and learning about Latin culture and what we're bringing to Vegas. Mm-hmm. Shout out to AR, Marcel, my partners. Shout out to any artist that I'm working with. Shout out to my wife for always being there because I know this fucking life is very hectic at times. It's very busy, so I love you. And shout out to you, man, having me on.
Absolutely,
and I appreciate it. Like you give me a platform to talk on.
Absolutely,
and Altura, baby, take Altura too.
Altura all day, man. I appreciate you, bro. I'm like, I'm really excited to tap more into the Latin scene out here in the Latin
community. Come on, man.
For sure.
Plenty of tequila.
Yeah, for sure, bro. All right, bro. Till next time, man.
All right, man.
Peace.
Peace out.
It's the East Square Podcast. Peace.